Because I'm usually of the goat porn variety.
That's okay.
Their cheese is easier than slime.
Or reversemermaidknockers.com.
Wait, you know, hold on. Reverse mermaids wouldn't even have knockers.
They
wouldn't.
The mine do.
Oh, they have the fish things?
Yeah, they got paper mache.
You're knocking off more and more of the fish and just... why don't you just have a girl? Why don't you just go for a girl?
It's just congenital...
Why don't you just pick a girl?
Can we just do a fish with tits on it, like Starbarians style?
Oh, God, Starbarian. It's been a while.
But just boobs? Not, like, just a fish?
That's the image I get from what Matt's describing.
Recently showed me, they said, hey, look, I think it might have been Plague, but look, sexy shark. And he posted me fan art of a cartoon shark that is quite attractive.
Yeah.
I don't know how to describe it other than that. There are mounds where there's not usually mounds.
Great.
So, very interesting.
A quick Google search brings up an Urban Dictionary definition of the phrase crazier than a fish with tits.
Yeah.
No kidding.
Yes.
All right.
Every language combination has been done already.
We're excited to let you know that horseporn.com is partnering up with your favorite goat cheese porn.
Wasn't sure that you were getting a new round of advertisers.
That's where
you would
going.
Not believe how
if you head
hard
down
it is
to horseporn.com and type in
slash
the promo
Wooly
code Wooly M. You can get a 5-year subscription to horseporn.com.
And they'll drive you there!
It's a platinum.
It's funny the second time Matt wasn't here to hear it the first time.
I heard a little bit.
I like these
people like, look what's happened.
So
when
the
you're
first
not
thing
there.
Matt said was, how did this get so out of control?
Like, we were talking about this before you guys were here, and he's like, the fucking first podcast I'm not here. You guys are just taking horse pornography ads? What?
So, well, someone got in touch with the available domain names, and I was partial to horseporn.guru.
Yeah, that's a good one.
I like horseporn.pizza.
The knowledge makes it stronger.
Not bad.
Horseporn.exactlywhatyouexpect.com.
Horseporn.trump.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it always leads back to Super Best Friends.
/ Angel.
As it should.
Yeah, that's right.
We've got to corner that market.
That's right. A proud subsidiary.
As we recorded that video, I became increasingly threatened that you guys were saying, no, put in horseporn.com, no, put in .net, no, put in .org. Like, I'm convinced that you want me to rotate through URLs
until
something real came up.
We need to find a hit.
Horseporn.co.uk.
Yeah, exactly.
Classy.
Close
Blimey.
Enough.
Either way,
blimey, this is the biggest I've ever done. See,
of course, but of course, there's fucking people parking there.
There should be. Domain space.
Sex is getting weirder and weirder. If I park on this domain name, eventually I'm going to make a lot of money when the horse overlords come down.
Mm-hmm. I, for one, welcome them.
Yeah.
I saw a magazine recently that had Sarah Jessica Parker on the front. And there was another article, and I was like, it'd be great for one of those things where, like, they have a picture and they have an unrelated article.
But it seems like it might be the,
and I just want Sarah Jessica Parker, and it says, Shadow Facts, the Lord of All Horses.
Yeah,
sorry,
okay.
I have to get that in there.
No, that's fair, that's fine.
She can take it.
No one can take it.
It's kind of like that Britney in Brawl clip.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Oh, that's too good. You can't write shit like that.
Yeah.
Uppy is toxic.
Which one's that?
The one that you like.
That's her song.
We were
hanging out on the weekend, and Toxic came on, and you started yelling at the radio because you love the song so much.
It's fucking violin.
It's a good violin.
Yeah.
God fuck damn it, shit.
That's right.
It's just not fair.
I want
we live in a world with a violin that good in a Britney
Spears
song.
I want a series of music tracks in which the violin has been replaced with Matt's whine noise. There it is.
It's the grossest theme of music.
That's great.
Just made it. There you go.
Yeah.
So Liam, you took us down this road into. Well, actually, I hit record right as Matt said the word gort. Gort.
Gort? Yeah, I say that on occasion.
No, my son's name is also Gort.
Right as you started talking about goat porn, so I didn't get the context of it, so just keep in mind that you have an isolated clip at this point.
Or I just say goat.
Although Zone has confirmed that there might be a soundboard.
Ooh, like good. That's North. Strong. That's good.
Good so. Thing our audio quality is so consistently low that no one will ever use that soundboard.
Yeah, exactly. Nothing redeemable coming out of there.
Yeah, it's like, I can't, are they talking, what are they talking about? Just sounds like farts through a microphone.
If we've done our,
know our secret.
If we've done our job right, by the time we die, one of our clips will be on a Morning Zoo soundboard somewhere.
Yeah.
And that's when you know you made
that's
it.
The yeah.
Mm,
that's
really
the dream.
Really
is. It won't be our Morning Zoo crew.
Is it harder to get on that than it is to, like, win a giant award?
Yes.
Like, what's harder, winning an Oscar or getting on that soundboard?
Getting on soundboard.
Mm, getting on the soundboard.
You because pay people off
to get because
an
Oscar. The award is awarded for competency in some craft,
yeah.
Which you can work towards.
Yeah.
But the soundboard,
Nobel Prize.
The soundboard feels like a random selection.
You have to hit hard. But it's abstract taste.
You have to, like, yeah. Fail in the most extraordinary manner or succeed in the most extraordinary
God,
manner.
God, that is the dream. That is the dream, isn't it?
The chances
or
are.
Or just sound like an air horn every time you talk.
One some word will come out good.
We need to get air horns.
No.
I bookmarked the instantraparhorn.com and then like oh, I was like good. I immediately regretted it.
Oh, too bad.
It's too late. That bookmark will live on forever in your mind's mind.
It's fine. Yeah. Wow. Feeling the energy right now.
Yes, it's pretty high.
Someone want to take it away?
I'm pretty happy. Ah, fine. I'll take it away. Fuck it.
Wait, isn't this episode the true?
Yeah, it's the true birthday.
The true anniversary.
Yeah, we're idiots.
We double birthday every time.
Every birthday.
Every time.
You know what's great about
why
a double
would you
birthday?
Deny, why would you deny yourself two birthdays when you can have them?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's why. That. That's why having your parents be divorced is the shit.
This is the true anniversary.
Fives.
Like,
no.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you can have as many birthdays
wrong
as you
room.
Want in a year, as long as you can tell different groups of friends when your birthday is.
No,
and it's
Matt's
different.
Parents aren't.
You can
no,
have
mine
as many
aren't either.
Well, yeah, well, yeah, I guess technically not, fine.
Technically not!
Like
what the fuck does that mean?
No, move on to the next subject.
Next,
don't even
next question! Yeah. What's the next letter we got in?
Technically.
It's fine.
What's our next letter?
What?
Yeah, fuck it. Let's just start with
the next
question. Let's just start.
It's all
with
mixed up. All
right. So we got one coming in from.
So I'm divorced.
Justin.
That's the
Justin.
That's the
okay.
Yo, let's
Justin
go.
Justin wants to know what your favorite person to call. What your favorite codec call?
Favorite
person
codec
is.
Call.
SIGINT and paramedic.
Paramedic for sure.
Paramedic's great because she just talks about movies all the time.
And
yeah.
SIGINT. Like, paramedic's more consistent, but Sigan talks about that dream where he shit all over the place.
Yeah, that one.
I like calling Mei Ling.
Mei Ling's great.
Mei Ling's like, probably my favorite.
Yeah, yeah, I'd say Mei Ling as well. Actually.
I like calling
yeah.
Mei Ling.
Her info is so sage.
Super cool.
I like calling Mei Ling in the original, but not in Twin Snakes.
Well, that's what I'm. That's what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
She's just lame without the X.
Yeah, no, I'm only talking about the original.
Maybe Colonel Campbell.
The girls I speak to must sound racist for me to get anything out of it.
Racist slash accurate?
Yeah, I don't know.
Well,
she's
know.
From California.
How
so that's why
that
change
yeah.
was made, because it made no sense at all. She's a second-generation Chinese immigrant that grew up in, like, fucking SoCal.
She went to a Chinese-only school, that's why.
No, accurate. We'll agree to disagree there.
All right, but that's where that
yeah,
goes.
Yeah, Paramount. So, save game ladies. They're obviously the best, especially in Metal Gear 2.
They're good, yeah.
What about Data, though?
What about Data?
The monkey.
Yeah,
he's not a
cool. He's a cool like
okay,
save game.
But the call isn't the moment. The call,
well, you're saying save game ladies, right? So
yeah.
I mean, you go you
for
everybody.
Data. It's the dance. It's not the call.
It's the dance. It's all about.
I like the girl in Metal Gear who you'll try to call her, but unless your valor's high enough, she'll be out shopping or something.
I don't know.
And you have to raise your valor high enough to be able to get through.
I know your valor.
And she'll
your
be
rank.
Like, your rank,
rank
yeah.
Right?
And she'll be like, you're cool. I put a rocket launcher in this room for you.
Yeah, yeah.
But otherwise, you'll just get someone else picking up the phone saying, ah, oh, she's out at a tanning salon or some shit.
Yeah.
She's cool.
Should she not be helping with this mission to save the
yeah,
world?
Yeah, you'd think so.
No, she's got that thing where she needs to be a burnt chicken.
Look, we're going to withhold resources
yeah.
from you.
What game is this?
Metal
enough.
Gear.
Metal Gear.
It's great.
One?
Yes.
There's no one at the end.
Okay. I've never actually played Metal Gear for more than 10 minutes.
It's bundled in subsistence. You can give it
I played it for 10 minutes.
Okay.
And then it was like, ew, it's old.
You know, it barely counts, but any Smash... Codec.
Oh, yeah, those
characters.
Are
every single
certainly.
One was
yeah.
one of those, so.
Yeah. like as far as like favorite conversations goes, we've answered that question, and I mine is like Polish to a Mirror Sheen, like that entire fucking gun porn
moment is amazing.
But no, calling Mei Ling.
I like the sequence of codec calls in MGS4 where you're like, oh, this is different from other Metal Gears. Like swapping the controller won't work, or you got to switch the disc. Oh wait, we're using a Blu-ray disc. Like
right.
All you're like gags. What?
Yeah, exactly. Those were good. That's the codec gags are strong. Like, why aren't you using, like, a mono TV? A mono TV in this day and age, Snake?
Yeah.
What a shame.
What are we watching, Heat?
Yeah. We got one from Nicholas, and he wants to know...
How's your Piccolo's?
What, if that is his real name. What are the games you've bought the most copies of multiple times?
Resident Evil 2.
Third Strike and Metal Gear.
Resident Evil 4.
I have every version
but the PS2 version.
I have every version but the PS2 version.
Yeah, I have the PS2 version as well. Yeah, that game, without a doubt. Yeah. But yeah, runner-up would be Metal Gear 1, 2, and 3.
Actually, right? That's wrong. I have the most copies of BMX XXX, and I'm not going to explain why.
Yeah, that was...
Well, just in case one breaks, you gotta have them titties.
I think I have 5 or 6 copies of Third Strike in various Dreamcast English, Dreamcast Japanese,
and that's not even counting
anthology,
and that's not even counting like the first and second iterations of which you have as well.
Second Impact.
Yeah.
Like the real question is here is how many games do you own multiple copies of?
Yeah,
and that is like, oh, it's bad.
How many Steam codes of Batman?
Yeah, so when you incorporate Steam into that problem, it gets stupid.
Yeah, of course.
Which but game, like, do you have the most 50% off coupons for?
Portal right 2? Now, I think like all the
I
only
have
2.
Portal 2, a million. Well, fuck's sake, stop it.
The game's good.
It's good.
It's a good game.
I already got it.
I already gave it to multiple people. This is a good game.
We got one coming in from Dylan. And
you son of a bitch.
I wasn't even going to bother.
Yeah, well, I didn't really bother either.
You didn't.
And,
oh, that's my favorite podcast.
This is the Yvonette Niage cast.
And he's basically asking, he's saying that he listens to music all the time. And
loser.
He's been, like, playing certain tracks on repeat, like Father Gascoigne and the Saberwolf theme. What have you guys been listening to on repeat recently?
Killer Instinct Season 2 soundtrack, because I didn't realize that they're just... different tracks. Maya's theme is not...
It's not the one
game
here.
Theme. It's completely different trancy house thing. Mm. I mean, I don't like it as much, but it's still great, and it's still... I like it when you get a soundtrack, like a game soundtrack specifically, and I don't mind it if they do both tracks, like the arcade or whatever, the source one, and then a weird remix. This is just all weird remixes. Like, Omen's one is fantastic, and that's just the one I've had on repeat, like, all week.
I've been listening to Beyond the Bounds, a Sherrick mix or whatever.
Oh, that track is so good!
Yes, it's a Zoe 2 remix track. That
unofficial remix track.
No,
I thought that came on a special version.
It's official. It's official.
That's what I just said.
Sorry, I thought you said unofficial, but you said unofficial.
Unofficial, yes.
My mistake. And Nuclear by Mike Oldfield.
Of course.
Okay. Can you guess what game I've been playing this week?
I have a good, like, maybe 80 or so listens required up ahead of the new Muse album, because Drones just came out, and I got to properly listen to that in every setting, like, in transit,
at home,
while working.
At home with girlfriend, wanting attention.
all the different settings.
Does your phone have a camera
neglecting
app
work?
Says, you are black, are you sure you want to play this album?
Right. No, but
there is a new rap album.
I'll offset that, but I'm also listening to Watch the Throne.
I have prepared a song more to your preference.
Yeah, it's to your taste. This is
straight out of
Compton. You know what sucks is that when that track came out, it's like, yeah, new Fort Minor. Oh wait, no, the album's actually really far away.
It's very much, it was just a single track. And of course, you know, the fucking new combo theme, like that, which is going to become relevant in a minute. Because that's just motivation. You want to just do the full question? Yeah, we're in it.
We're in it. We're in the backwards cast.
Stag one. Yeah, what? Take it.
Loser.
Music is dumb. Music is stupid. Everyone who likes music is shit.
Yes.
All right, got it.
No, hold on.
So the next question, we got one from Stag.
From Stag.
Stag wants to know.
If there's ever a track that I'm going to put on YouTube repeat and just listen to, it's usually something like Ken Ashcorp.
Yeah, okay. Ken Ashcorp's fun.
And it's usually Absolute Territory. I probably listened
to that. Absolute Territory's great.
I probably listened to that song like 4,000 times over the past year.
Amazingly catchy. Amazingly catchy.
Stag wants to know.
Stag!
What is
music's
your
done, though.
What's your favorite? To celebrate the second anniversary of the podcast, what's your favorite game with a 2 in it?
With a 2?
That's not Street Fighter 2.
I'm going to immediately disqualify Resident Evil 2 for my answer.
Resident Evil 4. Wait, fuck.
Favorite or yeah, favorite?
Favorite game with a 2 in it.
It says the word favorite?
Yep.
Okay. Because I was about to say Assassin's Creed 2.
Don't read aloud. If Pat says Baldur's Gate 2 or Resident Evil 2 as his answer, accuse him of not loving Kojima. Got it.
Because I've got a game in mind, but it doesn't have a 2 in it. It's a sequel, so fuck, that doesn't count.
Yeah. Baldur's Gate 2 doesn't compare to RE2.
Well,
but,
I would assume Sons of Liberty?
Yeah, exactly. Like, backing down from the second Owendon, which I can't pick because there's no 2 in it. Mm-hmm. So, well, Substance, rather. But yeah, Metal Gear Solid 2, Substance. Absolutely.
I don't know. I consider that, like, the fifth game. Just because it's
what
Solid
are the first
2?
Four?
You know what I mean? Metal Gear 2 Solid Snake, Metal Gear Solid.
Oh, I thought you meant games with 2 in the name.
No.
Sorry.
No.
I was like, what are the other 4 you prefer?
It's own series, technically, but it continues the story. I don't know. It's always a gray area.
What about Silent Hill 2? Why haven't you picked Silent Hill 2?
You can say that.
Pat's making
a
grumpy
face. It's Silent Hill 2.
Wooly is looking desperately at game boxes.
It's Silent Hill 2 with the runner-up being Mass Effect.
Hmm.
That Mass Effect game's pretty damn good.
If I can't
good.
Say Street Fighter 2, then...
Yeah, like,
can
that's
I say Street
qualifier.
Fighter Alpha 2?
No.
Why not?
It's still your favorite
same game. I also can't say Street Fighter 3 Second Impact.
If I'm going to look back
there's a
on
two
it...
In that. Yeah, well, you can't. Show
which SmackDown versus Raw game is your favorite?
Yeah.
If
I'm going to look back on it as a franchise, at least in that way, and what stands out the most to me is, like, always comes back to Mortal Kombat 2.
Mm.
Not saying
that's
my
pick.
Favorite sequel of all time.
That's a good pick.
But when I think about Mortal Kombat, I think about Mortal Kombat 2, because it's so much better than 1 and still better than 3, to me.
Oh, 2's way better than 3. That run shit is terrible.
You got anything?
With a 2 in it.
It's Devil May Cry, obviously.
Yeah.
I can't even fucking pick a King of Fighters.
Just say Bayonetta.
Because it's like...
Maximum Impact.
Yeah, no, I know.
The
exactly.
Counts aren't there.
It doesn't.
It's bullshit.
Maximum Impact.
Bullshit.
This question's bullshit.
I'm saying Alpha 2. Fuck you. Fuck you.
You like Alpha 2 better than SF2?
I'm not allowed to say SF2.
Oh, man, no, I was just
he
curious.
He is forbidden specifically.
Well, come on. Alpha 2 is better than Alpha 2.
Has been sealed.
Alpha 3 is kind of bullshit.
But it's better.
Yeah. But it's kind of bullshit.
Double okay. Upper, yeah, absolutely.
It's fucking like, it's fucking nonsense.
If you're going to talk about God of War, it's God of War 2.
What about CVS 2?
CVS 2?
Ah. No, because I think there's at least one aspect where you're like, because CVS 2's...
No, that's the right answer.
Game.
That's the correct answer.
Okay. Yeah.
There's so many good 2s. Like, Soul Calibur 2 as well comes to mind. Yeah. Like,
oh, Soul Calibur 2 is so good.
Yeah, I know.
Even though it's busted at high level, it's so good, I don't care.
Necrid's so cool.
I would like to make a list for myself and find out if I prefer 2s or 3s.
Mm.
Hmm. Probably 3s.
Probably 3s.
Too many 3s, dude.
There's a lot of 3s.
Okay, like, just Capcom's 3s alone.
Give me some more 3s other than Third Strike.
Capcom's 3s alone are
okay.
The most untouchable. Devil May Cry 3.
Yeah,
okay.
those are
untouchable.
Those are the 2 that hit my mind first.
Street Fighter 3.
Yeah, those.
I just said not that.
Well, yeah, but Street
Breath
Fighter
Fire,
3rd
three.
Strike is 2 3s in 1.
Breath of Fire
it's
3.
The third edition
Breath
of
Fire
the
3.
Lost Planet 3.
No.
Oh, fucking Lost Planet 2 is so good. God damn it.
Lost Planet 1 is so good.
Okay, fuck me. Yeah, Onimusha 3.
Oh,
Onimusha
yeah!
3. Yeah, I forgot.
Oh, shoot. Capcom!
What are you gonna
Final
do?
Fight
what are you gonna
3.
Do? Make good games. Can't wait
one.
For Street Fighter 5 3.
Marvel vs. Capcom 3.
Yep.
No.
Yep.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Remember Cat God? Remember that
okay,
shit?
Okay, so
on the third.
Andy says, let's assume that Capcom were smart motherfuckers and made it the most optimal deal they could when putting Ryu and Mega Man into Smash 4.
Right.
And it's that they could get a Nintendo character into SF5.
Oh, into SF5 specifically.
Yeah, like
kind of like how Namco
like it's a swap.
Yeah.
What would the what's the go-to?
Who's the rub?
And the title of the subject of the email is Captain Falcon, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. That's a tough one. Fighter,
that's not bad.
I think that's the funnest and coolest one.
I think that in Smash anything really goes, but in Street Fighter I always like it better when it's a character that
I gotta go with Captain Falcon
gets in there.
Yeah.
See, he's a hand to hand fighter with fire moves. He fits right in.
The Falcon Punch would be completely worthless unless it's buffed to be like an instant.
It would be the super.
It has tons of armor on it.
It would be a Galactica Phantom.
You should still be able to throw it out.
It would be the end of the super in the animation.
Yeah, because the actual startup is like you can't
fucking little Mac.
Like if there was some way to FADC,
but little Mac
it,
versus
like,
Balrog up
in there.
Yeah.
I mean, Captain Falcon's a really strong pick.
He'd look great. He'd be fun moving around.
He kind of fits the proportions and shit.
They have a great story mode.
Like, there's a handful. Like, Ganondorf's good, and Zero Suit Samus is good, and, like...
But I don't
but without,
think anything...
without going to characters with weapons, it's tricky, too.
Sheik could work as well.
Yeah, Sheik could be good.
You know? But, like, I feel like Falcon's the right answer.
I think Mac's stronger, actually.
Mac's good, too,
but he's too small.
That's a good self-answering email.
He's too small. Captain Olimar. Captain Olimar for Street Fighter V.
Isn't he like 1 inch tall?
He's like 2 inches tall.
Yeah, that's gonna be a problem.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hitboxes. Yeah. Hitboxes, man.
He's gonna be like Yoda.
Oh, dude,
fucking god.
How did that happen?
Cause they did it with Tekken 3 and Gone, and they were like, that was a good idea, let's do it again.
Everyone loved it.
Exactly.
They just didn't care.
I told you guys, right? Like, I went through Tekken 3 and unlocked everyone, and unlocked Gone and Dr. B, and then hated them so much that I deleted my file. And re-unlocked everyone but those two characters because my stupid friends kept picking them.
Yeah.
Oh, you didn't have this character. Like, you unlocked them yourself, you fucking ass.
Robert just wants to let us know that there's a Twin Peaks reference in GTA 5. If you didn't know about
it. Sure.
And he sends a screenshot of...
There's a reference to everything.
A little area that's like this.
Yeah, okay.
That looks like a place from
this
the intro of Twin Peaks.
This waterfall is reminiscent of the one seen in the intro of each Twin Peaks episode.
A stretch.
That's cool. That's nifty.
It's nice, but it's a stretch.
Well, the owl is supposed to represent...
Like, you want a Twin Peaks reference, like, go to fucking Swery's Twitter.
That's pretty neat.
Swery, I never saw Twin Peaks. Swery.
Or play Life is Strange.
We were playing Odalis,
it's
and
him
that
and,
has a
it's
Twin
him
Peaks.
It's him in front of a bonfire
yeah,
at night with the caption, Fire Walk With Me.
Yeah. How many games have Fire Walk With Me in them?
A lot. We played... No, a lot.
We've seen two.
We've seen two.
We've seen two.
That's more than zero.
I know.
I was wrong.
It's awesome.
Yeah, the statue of the owl though is also supposed to represent the mysterious owl.
Yeah, whatever.
Mm-hmm. It's not what it seems.
K4, I gave
might not be that much of a
come on, season 3! Come on, Deadly Premonition 2!
Yeah, that's probably closer.
That'll ship right after the next new game.
It has to wait until...
I have to wait until the season 3 comes out.
And then I can figure out how to make the characters look.
Yeah.
I
love you, Swery.
We'll take one from Steve.
Hey, Steve.
Hey, Steve.
He says, just kind of continuing the inputs and games.
Oh, yeah. I saw a lot of talk about that.
All of them
was really good.
Yeah, I somewhat agree, but I couldn't. But I kept thinking, couldn't charge inputs also be made more accessible by having the player hold the button? Hold Sonic Boom for 2-3 seconds with a noticeable animation effect that could glow. Do you think that could work as an alternative? What approach would you take, etc.?
Like, and if you release it, clearly you get nothing. Yeah.
So that does work, although the thing to keep in mind with, like, holding down... And we're talking about fighting games and, like, getting rid of the motions and or replacing it with something like holding
the button.
Just different ideas
could work, yeah.
And so the whole thing with holding buttons down to get special moves out is that's solely super viable. It's something that Street Fighter does use. With
there are existing fighters that use that exact
and Birdie and so on.
But then it's like
on.
Negative edge stuff, right?
It's negative edge stuff, exactly. So it's when you release the button, the move comes out.
What he makes me what that description he had made me think of was like Focus Level 3, where you hold it to the end and then you get it.
And
so
I
like the idea of Guile holding this pose and then going like that.
I think it's very viable. The thing to keep in mind with a lot of these holding button things is that while you maintain your mobility, you lose access to buttons, right?
You know what it fucking is? Cross Tekken had that. You could throw a Hadouken, or you could hold it for an EX, or you could hold it for a Super.
Yeah, well, you had to do the motion to get it, and
it would be
free otherwise.
You could have a one-button engine.
But more accurate to the I guess, the conversation is, like, Marco Rodriguez / Kushud Butt from Mark of the Wolves. If you hold down Hard Punch or Hard Kick, he does a charged-up Super Hit, and... it's a cool move, it's really useful, but you lose access to 25% of your available attacks.
Cody, you know? In SF4 has, what's it called?
Zonknuckle.
Zonknuckle, mm-hmm. that works along the same concept.
Bingo. Absolutely. Yeah. And if you want to exit...
Bingo. That's what the name is called in my head.
Yeah. Whatever. And you want to exit, you're losing two of those.
Yeah, exactly.
So, I mean, these things are like... It does work, but you have to keep in mind that it's not the same as, like, a positional disadvantage for the charge character. It's more of a, they don't have these attacks mm-hmm. while they're preparing this
It's a viable idea, though, like, if the game's balanced around it, like...
It could be, yeah. but I just want to, like, emphasize that it's, like, it's a different type of disadvantage.
There's room for this.
You know?
Because there's some people in Smash that never have ever done a Hadouken traditionally, ever, and Smash gave them the first opportunity to maybe do it without any execution error, while still letting people...
Ryu's still a bit fucked with his inputs, how you can use A and B to do the special attacks, that's garbage.
Right.
It's garbage. I didn't want a Hadouken. I wanted, like, a tilt.
Then get good.
No, it's flawed. It's actually flawed.
Is it?
Yeah. You accidentally pull out Tatsus pretty often if you're trying to do move really quickly.
Yeah, that's Ryu's problem. He always accidentally pulls it out.
Right. But, that's it. It's a different type of disadvantage. Just keep that in mind.
Weapon Lord has it, too, where there are some special moves that you hold down a button. It's usually one out of two moves out of their special move repertoire. It's usually up to 10.
Okay.
Some characters have, like, 10 special moves. And there's two, and they're... It doesn't break it, but it feels like it'd be better if they're all consistent.
Holding down a button for stuff's, like, a good idea, though, because then you get some super satisfying animations out of it. Mm-hmm. Like, if you could do that for, like, Ryu's, like, Shoryuken, and he gets the, like, you know, the charge for the Shin Shoryuken?
Yeah.
He charged it a little bit more, like in Marvel, actually.
Yes.
Yeah.
But the thing is I don't prefer those because, like, it looks cool.
Well, like I said, it would have to be balanced around it.
Yeah, it looks cool, but if you're just stuck in place doing a really long startup, it's going to be impractical in every competitive match.
Yeah.
So
for that one setup. Yeah.
I much prefer the ones where it's like, you can still move around, and you're just like, I don't have that button.
Like, I don't know how this kind of preference like spreads itself out over the FGC, but in my case, I would much prefer moves that are instant and have long cooldowns than moves that I need to that have a long startup
mm-hmm.
and that I can do right away.
Yeah.
And the one that I was talking about to Liam off camera or whatever was Armika's butt bounce.
Mm-hmm. Where you can pick.
In Alpha, where she has both.
Yes.
She has one that's instant and she rubs her butt afterwards and is like, ow, my butt. And she has one that she does like a little hop beforehand. And the one with the little hop sucks.
Mm-hmm.
It sucks! Because everyone will block it forever unless you're using it for like corner pressure or something.
It's pretty safe though, isn't it?
Yeah, that one's safe.
Yeah.
But I much prefer the faster one with the cooldown.
Yeah, well, so you know, having the options for you, having different utilities is perfect. Like Ken with his like medium punch, invincible short.
Yeah,
your damage.
Well, his forward moves, medium kick where he can go for it, or he can go into an overhead, or he can fake it, like... Yeah.
All the funnest, most ridiculous combo videos with Boxer are the ones where he's got a charge to turn around punch final, and he gets hit with it and then gets like knocked out of it by a fireball.
Yeah,
stupid.
600 damage.
Those are the best.
I want a character to have an EX tap. I want it to be...
Well, Zonknuckle.
No, I want it to be the same input for tap, which is hold all three punches, and then I want it to be also hold two kicks.
So stop doing things.
Stop doing anything.
Pick one normal that you can use.
I was thinking about that, like, in my head, just, like, a character that was all about holding down buttons just this week before this question even came in.
Yeah.
Like, it's totally a thing, I think.
Absolutely.
As long as each one of those buttons is an important tool.
You usually see that more with people with, like, command normals or, like, really long specials, like Whip from KOF.
Yeah.
Like, holds her buttons so she can move around her and all of her moves.
If I could do one thing to Makoto, it would be if you charge a Hayate and cancel it, it stocks, like, Sheik's bullets.
It wouldn't be multiply her health by 5.
No. It would simply be the
give her a move that makes her invincible.
Stock in her full charged Hayate and then let it loose because I've already charged it. You know?
Okay, yeah.
Kind of no startup at all.
Yeah.
With, like, your jury fireballs.
Kind of okay.
Because I'd make it so you win things by playing her. So.
I would make it so
that... I was just fucking thinking about
saying that. I would make it so that her dash, jump, and crouching states are completely invincible.
Well, we can all have the things we want if we dream hard enough.
Yeah.
Like, if I believe in it...
There's a certain nobility in just laying around in bed and thinking things weren't the way they were.
Yeah, that's right.
Blanka should just never lose. When he dies, he should get a resurrection.
Okay, but Blanka's EX ball should beat all of Rolento's moves.
Yeah. Like, you joke, but if you played Blanka in Street Fighter 4 like you did, and a version came out where Blanka was just absurd, like, how did this make it into the game? He doesn't have a hitbox for most of his animations.
His hitbox... Like,
right? They put it in the game! Shit's legal!
Blanket's hitbox is perpetually 10
I picked this character beforehand! Fuck all y'all!
I had a perpetual shit-eating grin during Vanilla, because every ball was pretty much like...
Yeah, unstoppable.
Most characters are not going to be able to punish it.
It hurt.
Yeah. You know? Every ball was like...
It reminded me, I think it was AE, where the range on Zangief's light SPD became like... four character lengths away or some absurd
shit. And they switched it to knockdown.
And I couldn't believe it.
Yeah,
that was like, it felt like the least fair thing in the world.
AKA the yin and yang years.
Yeah.
Most people didn't notice the other characters changed.
Yeah, exactly.
Because you were busy playing twins. Fuck it.
I don't want to play twins. They suck. I don't like them. Losers.
I disagree. I really like their character designs. And
they're really cool.
And their moves are really cool, too.
Here's my problem with...
They're cool versions of Lee, you know?
My problem with yin and yang, primarily yin... is that I'm average to him. Like, I don't particularly like or particularly dislike him. But when you're watching Third Strike videos...
Don't watch the match.
He's in there.
Yeah. Don't bother.
I think Yurian's awesome. I think Chun-Li's great.
Yurian's amazing.
Like, all the other top tiers in that game I love as characters, and then there's Yun being the loser by comparison.
Because fucking years, too strong.
Years and years. And when I saw him for 4, I was like, ugh. I was like, here we go again. And here we went again.
I wish there was like...
For a little bit.
I wish there was like crazy stats where we could see
year and a half,
number of Ginnagen clones created. You know, like lifetime totals.
You mean like those crazy Killer Instinct stats?
Be
like
great.
Like almost broken.
Yeah, I don't know. What number of Aegis Reflector crossups?
There should be a special version of Ginnagen in which if you hit it by a certain timing, the clones don't appear.
Sure.
What
does that mean?
How much Japanese Third Strike?
No, I know that there's the fucking weird ass bug.
Yeah,
but, like,
I want that.
You want that put
invisible
into form?
Yeah.
What you mean? Okay.
Yeah. Fuck
sure.
It.
Sure.
Sometimes the clones are solid. Sometimes the clones aren't there.
They're corporate.
I want Yun's V skill to be it summons a clone who's already doing a dive kick right in front of you.
No!
Well, just instant.
Dude, like, early on, one of the first ideas I had, and I'm like, how fucking cool would it be, is if you throw out an Aegis Reflector, and then you do a Chariot Tackle through it, he gets, like, an extra around him.
That's like Aghanos stuff.
Or like Andrew Jackson from Samurai Shodown.
That'd be really cool. Yeah. No, right? You know what it should be if Yun is in SF5? His V-skill should be he does, like, the Ganagian pose with the animation, but nothing happens.
Nothing happens.
And it's just a pressure tool.
Well, I think it was you, Liam, that we were having a conversation. We were saying, like, Makoto should have... Like a taunt that just looks like she's going into Tanden Reiki, but then doesn't.
It looks like something's going to happen, exactly. Yeah.
And it changes her color.
It's great.
And then she blocks.
Makes the noise happen. Nothing
just scary.
Yeah.
Alright, well, that's letter time. And with that, let's take a quick word from our sponsors. Villains!
Villains. Yeah. Wait, that's not us.
They're jerks.
Heroes!
No.
Why are you calling us villains?
Villains is the theme we're going with this month. In Loot Crate, August 2015 edition.
Yes, Liam has come prepared because he has damaged tattooed on his forehead.
Open, like the Loot Crate just says damaged all over every surface.
So we're finishing up on summer.
Ha 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 tattoo.
Exactly,
ha,
you get ha, it? Ha. You get it?
We're finishing up on summer and going into the gloomy ass September.
Yeah.
Because of these jerks.
So you open your box and crime happens on your lap.
And it starts to snow.
It starts to snow.
It's great. I villains are fucking cool.
Yeah.
They are nearly... universally better than their own heroes.
Or more important.
Right. I think the right way to do a villain's loot crate box is to send it to your house 30 days before it's supposed to be there.
No, yeah. You know how you do that? You do that, and you open up, and it's empty, and there's a note that says, haha.
Certainly. But then
that's how you
and then,
do
and then on the actual
okay,
day,
okay, if we're just
going
to go down that path, then the box, you should open it up, and a gun bomb. Should come out.
And
yeah.
kill your parents?
Yeah. And kill your parents!
That's the best straight out of comedy.
And then you have
so
to go
far.
To an
straight
amateur wrestling ring and fight a guy to get money, and then don't stop the guy from mugging the guy.
Okay, we're kind of going off topic.
Regardless, how much does this villain's box possibly cost us?
Well, in general, for less than $20 a month, you're getting your box full of items. And if you head on down to lootcrate.com/super, use the promo code super, you get $3 off of that. So. All in all, it's pretty much a steal.
Saving that much money.
Oh, villain jokes.
Saving that much money borders on morally bankrupt. It is a villainous thing to do.
Yeah,
it's
exactly.
Absolutely criminal.
It really is. But
it's like a crime that a bad person would do.
Very nice.
That being said, you're not going to get your parents murdered for opening this loot crate box. Can we just put that out there?
Can we just put that out there? Yeah. No, it's true.
Disclaimer.
They'll get murdered somehow else.
That'd be nothing to do with
that
such a great
tech isn't
service.
Ready yet.
Yeah,
we're
exactly.
still working on it.
Fine print says we're not responsible.
But if you get to be a cool villain as a result of
totally
that,
worth
exactly.
it.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Oh, your loot crate killed my parents.
You don't
so
know what
I'm
you're
going
messing
to
with.
Get revenge
and
on
really,
you.
And really, the presence of a box of villains at your door only gives you the chance to be a hero.
That's exactly yeah.
What yeah. more do you need than the opportunity to save something?
And don't forget that you could always flip it around and become the villain that helps the hero
yep.
at the end.
You got options. You got
and
options.
Then, and then it gets depowered
well,
for 10
either,
seconds
no,
to go.
You either die super powerful, sacrificing yourself and correcting your
or
mistake.
Or you live long enough to become the loot crate.
Or you depower, exactly.
this is a metaphorical blank check of morality. And you can do with it
okay.
exactly what you will.
If you have a widow's peak haircut.
This,
yeah.
Okay, this box yeah. will contain a couple cool things. It will not contain a blank check for morale.
I said it was metaphorical.
He did.
It will not be a metaphor either. It'll be a real check. Wait, I'm losing it. I'm losing
you
it.
Are, you are.
I'm losing it.
Put your hat back on.
It's on. All right.
It keeps your brains from spilling out.
There you go. Lootcrate.com/super. Promo code super. You can help support this mess of a podcast, as you can hear us derailing here, by heading on down there. And you have until the 19th of this month at 9 p.m. Pacific to get your villain's box going.
That's right. Like over a week away from now, so that's plenty of time.
You got some time.
Right, and after that, it's the next month's box?
After that, it's the next month.
Right,
next,
okay.
Next month's box.
Makes sense.
I assume that will be sidekicks.
Perhaps.
Who knows?
And then you can use the things you got out of the villain box.
There's a crowbar in here.
To destroy
yeah.
the stuff
yeah,
in
exactly.
the sidekick box.
Now that's real damage.
There's a bloody crowbar? What?
Oh, that's great. That's great. I like that. Thanks, Loot Crate.
Thanks, Loot Crate.
Hey, welcome to episode 105.
So there's a cereal that's called Captain Crunch Oops All Berries.
Yeah.
And that's what I think best
that
describes
that sounds like
this.
A sex crime.
Because they had to...
no, it means that there's no Captain Crunch. They just accidentally put all berries
Wait.
In it. And that's a good description of what we're doing.
Is that a
so
good
far.
Cereal?
I don't know. I never bought it.
Because any cereal that has an apology in the name...
Oops.
Like...
Sorry, there's a jagged metal Crustio in there.
Whoops,
like,
we poisoned your
like,
gullet, you stupid fat.
That's like when you go like for Halloween and you open your bag and say trick-or-treat, and the guy goes, oops, all razors.
All razors.
Like,
you're the one.
Considering
all failed condoms.
Crunch berries are the best part of Captain Crunch.
Are they? Okay.
Amazing.
Okay, good.
I really like
them.
They're
just
Captain
tricks.
Crunch, so...
they're just tricks.
Mm.
Just berries.
Maybe.
They're not. Tricks taste awful. Crunch berries taste
much
great.
Like Crunch berries.
It's like if you buy a Red Bull and it says, like, oops,
they're
all
sour.
Taurine.
They're my favorite.
And
yeah!
Just, and you just die.
Taurine's,
you just keel over.
Taurine's the good part.
Yeah.
To prove that this metalloa is harmless.
We've done it too many times this
yeah,
month.
That's
you get a sugar-free Red Bull. Oops, all sugar.
it's just the power.
That's the one.
Dead on the
yeah.
floor.
Ooh, yeah. I like this.
Bury me.
It's a Capcom game. Oops, all DLC.
All Spyborg.
Street Fighter 6. Oops, all gems. There's no characters.
Just
a selection of power stones.
Just a selection of Hulk Hogan's.
So, all right.
Start with your week. Sure. You went down to the con.
Went down to the con. The con was a con.
Which convention?
Otakuthon. Happened in Montreal. Hung out with fun people. Good times. The game room was a sad state of affairs.
I kept hearing that. The game was amazing, room? And he never wanted to leave. What? No?
The game room at Otakuthon, routinely terrible. This was the worst year.
How can it get worse? Because the people who were there in the prior 2 years that at least ran some of the tourneys on point just gave up. And I spoke to one of them about it, and it was like, I'm done.
How many Japanese single-player RPGs were there at this game?
There was five at a time rotating out. Don't do that. Yeah. I love those games. Lots of people in there love those games. Don't do that. There was a fucking single melee setup flanked by two Halo setups that people were occasionally picking up.
Yeah.
And the melee setup was completely crowded. And it's like, well, you think you wouldn't just want two more?
When you
more
say
of them?
Halo, what do you mean?
I couldn't identify them by eye, but it was two of the Halo games.
Me and some of the anime boys walked in, saw an Xbox One setup with an outdated version of BlazBlue running on it, and promptly 180. Because that was what the fuck.
We're going back to anime town, boys.
On the main projector, there were gimmick matches of Kuma Vega mirrors going on in Cross Tekken.
On the other Xbox One, I saw they were running Dead or Alive, and I asked, "Hey, is Killer Instinct on this system?" And the guy was like, "I don't know, probably not."
What is that? Is that made in America? It has no right
What's
to be
Killer
here?
Instinct?
I know everyone loves Splatoon, but setting up the main screen with 1v1 local Splatoon is not the way to go, because that mode's not even good.
Don't bring it at all.
I'd rather have nothing.
I'd rather have Street Fighter 4 on the main display.
So that was rough times.
Hard times, baby.
But whatever. Spent a bunch more time back on KI now with Rash out. I decided to get back into the rankings for this month.
I was talking
my way up to Killer.
I was talking to someone that works on Killer Instinct a little bit, and I was like, why is Rash actually, his inclusion seems fun? He's like,
it's just
He loves being in a fighting game, whereas Kratos is like, fuck him, just Kratos.
Gotta kill everyone.
That's such an unfair comparison.
That's Netherrealm versus these guys,
Kratos
right?
Kratos is the worst. The cameo and everything.
Even shitty Mega Man in Cross Tekken, it's like everyone hated it.
Oh, but that was great. People were just salty.
Because it was terrible.
It was good. People were just mad because of other circumstances.
But it was just like a celebration of this character, and he's here, and it's stupid, but it's radical, and it feels good.
It's a good cameo as opposed to a bad one. I think that's the fair way to put it. It's cool. And again,
how's the trip up the ranking going?
Pretty solid so far. I was able to land.
Well, Killer's second from the bottom. Solid.
Oh
yeah.
I was there one day, buddy. I don't know if Keats was responsible for this new setup, but the setup is very cool and engaging.
How does it work?
Leagues, right?
So there's leagues, exactly. So every month they reset the tiers, and what happens is you have your overall ranking, but in general you do 10 matches, and based on your performance in those 10 matches, you get placed in
This is the StarCraft II MOBA system explicit.
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay. You get placed in an initial...
I don't think it is, Pat.
I don't know. Let me get through it. You get placed in an initial category of bronze, silver, gold, or killer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't think you can get placed directly into killer. I think it's
you have
just...
to work your way
You work your way up, but depending on whether you're bronze or silver or gold, you have a further place to go, right? So once you get placed there, you can never fall out of that category. You can
until
only
the month resets.
Mm-hmm. But to move up, of course, you have to build up enough points.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And you can lose just as much as you can gain from every win or loss, depending on the person you're fighting. I did my first 10. Mm-hmm. I did pretty good. I got placed in gold.
Mm-hmm.
So I have a short, path up to killer.
Yeah. But that path is hard.
But that path is hard. Yeah. Versus the people that are working their way.
Then you're fighting Rico Suave's killer.
Yeah.
And
it's like,
then,
if, even if you botch your first 10 matches, but you're decent,
yeah,
you'll fly through your lower ranks.
Yeah, well, the thing is, once you're in there, people in killer will get matched with you as well.
Yeah.
You know, to give you bigger point boosts if you beat them.
Mm-hmm.
And once you're in killer, you're then locked into, like, the tournament mode for that month.
Yeah.
Where, every match you play in killer, it becomes 2 out of 3.
That's awesome.
It's fucking cool, right?
Like, it takes on a totally different...
Because the reason I said it was so similar to, like, StarCraft, because StarCraft does the placement matches.
The ladders, right.
And yeah. Then you have your shit, and you get up to diamonds.
So here, no, once you get into the killer
set,
it becomes 2 out of 3, and then you're fighting to get into top 32.
Oh, man.
And then you have your top placement, and, like, and if you get into the top 32 killers of that month, you get a permanent, like, thing on your...
That's
your
profile. Like an emblem thing.
Yeah. Permanent that's emblem a on great your profile. Way to do it.
And, of course, you get your name listed and all the good shit. And then the next month, they reset it
just
again.
A monthly tournament is the deal.
That's basically a really good option. Way to do it.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm having a blast.
That's win-win for everyone!
Yep. Uh-huh. That, plus the inclusion of the quick mute button on the character select screen...
That's a good one.
...is making this...
Is that new? Is that new?
Yes.
Cool. I would love... I've been playing a shitload of Rising Thunder. I would love for that game's ranking system to be tweaked slightly to be more like this one.
Mm-hmm.
You played a lot of Rising Thunder World.
Oh, yeah.
Probably me and you the most. I really like that game's ranking system. I love that a victory against anyone moves you up.
Mm-hmm.
And over a long enough period of time, like, it may seem bullshit... Oh, I lost to a Super Diamond Ultra, and I only lost 1 point, or I beat a scrub, and I went up. Like, over enough time, it'll even itself out, because it wants to pair you with people within your ranking first, and then one out after that, at worst. The problem with... there's only the one big problem with that, is that I finally made it to Diamond, which was rough, because people in that game were real good.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe I suck, but... Well, no, I can't suck. I'm in Diamond. But... the problem with that is the formula that they use for spreading you out among the matches. Until I hit Diamond, I did not know that there was a master ranking in Rising Thunder. Because when you're in gold, you will never see them, ever.
I did actually.
Well, I never saw one.
Okay.
Because they're, you know, deprioritized compared to Diamond and Silver. And then the instant I hit Diamond, every match I had to play was with master opponents, and I can't beat anyone in the master tier. Like, that ranking system clearly works, because I have beaten everyone below me in ranking, and I have lost to everyone above me in ranking, so I will get knocked down into gold 5-5, and then beat silver and get back up.
Yeah.
And then get wrecked by the people above me.
You're not going to beat any masters without Vandalhook. I'll tell you that.
Yeah. Okay.
But the cool thing about the Rising Thunder system is that it always feels like there's progress. Because five matches and you go up to the next
tier of your
tier within your. Within
it always
your,
sucks to lose your progress. Metal. Yeah.
I think the biggest thing that game needs right now to mitigate the thing that I'm having right now is it needs about 100 times more players.
Mm-hmm.
And have those numbers be longer.
Mm-hmm.
I think
well, eventually.
Ultimately, the way the KI system works with its, like...
But that thing is...
The fact that you can't get knocked back, but you can still just hover at zero if you suck for that month, is like... It's
and
only
it'll
for
last
a
month,
so you
so
feel
that,
better about it, okay. And a month later, it's gone, you know? Yeah. So it's just a way of making people feel better about what's happening,
that's
but
really
also,
great.
Like,
you feel better.
You have a chance to
rub you
going
a
for
bit.
The big thing.
I hope Street Fighter does something similar to that.
I definitely do, because right now, this is the best thought-out one, in my opinion. Even if the netcode
isn't fantastic. I remember reading
the netcode isn't the best for KI, but it's the best, like, system.
It's not that great for Street Fighter.
Well, everyone's struggling, right?
Not Rising Thunder.
Did
you check that again? There's 100 people playing.
No, it's more like a couple thousand now,
which is still much less than anybody.
No, but I mean the net code, the peer to peer.
Sure.
Like once you're connected, it's amazing.
Yeah, I turned it on to go through the menus and whatnot, but didn't actually play the matches.
Right. Okay.
Yeah,
me neither. I also downloaded it, but
there, I went to my first roller derby match.
I can see that.
Oh, I remember. I remember coming at you, seeing you right after that, and you start grabbing people and screaming in their face.
Yo,
roller derby's fucking awesome.
It's super cool, man. It's like I really had a good time watching it because, like, I, you know, obviously you kind of hear about it as like a peripheral sort of like.
That's real. That continues to exist.
Yeah, you know, and there's the fun parts of it where it's like. Most of the girls have, like, they're, like, almost, like, wrestling persona characters where they come up with a name.
Whip It.
Like, Whip It. You know, well, that's the movie. Yeah, exactly. But they all have, like, a fun, you know, wrestling-type name. And, like, it's very, like, it's almost like they're one step away from cutting promos at each other.
I wish they would.
Before the matches start. I know.
I wish they would.
I know. But it's really fun stuff. But when you actually see the jam, as they call it, go, it's like fucking football in how they have to cut through the pack and make it through. It's like a good running back cutting through the defensive line. And I was like, I can 100% appreciate the strategy of how this is happening. Super fun.
My grandma and I used to watch roller derby and rodeo back to back like every weekend. It's fucking great.
Your grandma's cool.
I know, I love her.
I thought she's you were going to for sure say when my grandma was in the roller derby legs, I went to go see her.
I also thought he was going to say that.
Disappointing.
It's
used to be grandma's cut man.
Unfortunately, it was the last match for the season of the Montreal set, but it was also the perfect first match to see because the fucking blowout, the end score was 370-70.
Right.
I was hoping you were going to say two or something.
If that was a Little League game, the coach would have been fired for running up the score.
Well, that's the thing. At some point, you're like, what is the spread usually like in these things? Yeah. And it can't be like that.
It's not soccer, I'll tell you what.
And so through this first match that I watched, I got to see exactly how you fail and exactly how you succeed.
Oh, yeah.
And the things where I'm doing the thing where I'm like, why isn't this person doing this thing that they should probably be doing? Oh, I probably don't know what I'm talking about.
There's probably a reason.
Spectator. It's like, no, wait. The other team is doing that thing and fucking
decimated. You got to see both extremes of performance.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, it was fucking great. So that was a good time. I'm super, super in. And
Flowchart Ken versus Momochi.
Yeah. And, well, I immediately started thinking, like, about, like, where's the really sick video game, roller derby game? Where is that?
It's on the Wii Shop channel.
There is one.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's fairly legit.
Only we know about this. It's a WiiWare game on the Wii Shop channel, I'm pretty sure.
Because goddamn,
is like Rockin' Roller Derby or something?
God, I can't believe we both for that.
I know that.
And my brain started doing little GDE turns in my head. I'm like, how would you do this again? How would you do this? There's some things.
Number one, from a presentation standpoint, you would make them do wrestling
promos. You make them do wrestling promos.
Here it is,
right?
Jam City Roller Girls on WiiWare.
Okay.
Girls.
You know, like what
$60 retail game on PS4, PC, Xbox. It's the only way.
Damn.
Got a 60 on Metacritic.
Where's my team of like fucking girls with Furiosa ink on their face coming out?
All these short haired creepers.
But no, there's lots to fucking see there. Mm-hmm. And I'm definitely on board like for
that's
next season.
It's entertaining to watch for sure.
Caught up to Gangsta, caught up to Gate. Those continue to be really awesome.
Gate's been good, but like I read about like when it gets bad, and I was like, boy, that sounds like the fucking worst thing ever.
I do have to. Yeah,
did you read?
No, what? I heard. The whispers have hit me
in the podcast comments. I saw that. I went, oh, that doesn't.
That's well,
my
well,
fear,
worse.
Though. My fear was based on those three characters from the intro showing up.
Yeah,
but now that they're here, they're nowhere near as bad as I was.
Isn't Rory great?
She's all right.
She's great.
She's all right.
Her animation's great.
I think
in that first fight with her,
yeah, she looks like a League of Legends type character, like goth lolly with a big.
Does she look like some dirty Korean design? She's superior.
She's a goth. I'm sorry. Am I hitting waifu?
Wait a second. You guys made fun of me for thinking League of Legends was Korean.
Here, let me fetch your waifu out of the
trash. Yeah, so what are you talking about?
Let me fetch your waifu out of the trash for a minute.
No, she's cool.
You see that photo? A friend of ours at the con, she was dressed up as a Fire Emblem character, and she took a photo with this guy that was just a trash can with a bunch of cutouts of waifus on it.
Yeah.
And it just said, your waifu is garbage.
Yeah.
It's trash. That's the best costume.
Solid.
But no, the three girls that looked like it was going to be like a harem type situation based on the intro.
Well, it is.
It's not there yet.
It's for one of them it is.
But if it's straight up ends up going there, that's going to suck.
It's heading to its logical
place. But so far,
place.
I am not offended by their inclusion. Is what I'm trying to get at. Meanwhile, Gangsta's just fucking aces. There's nothing else to say about that.
It's cool.
It's the shit.
Great Gangsta cosplay over the weekend.
Yeah, man. Good shit. Good shit on that. That looks really cool.
Yeah.
Steven Universe.
Did you watch any of it?
Yeah, I'm like probably halfway through. I'm about to finish off.
What do you think of Goku's reinterpretation?
So anyway,
while we're grasping at straws, yeah.
Thank you for.
Okay, hold on. I'm gonna back up just to explain.
Oh yeah,
that.
You are.
No, somewhat. It's like Liam and Matt are both like pseudo pissed off at me for the comparison.
It just doesn't make sense because it literally comes down to, yeah, if you change the characters and what happened, then I guess it's accurate.
Yeah, I guess it's accurate.
So here's, as someone that's watching this, keeping that what you said in mind now, I'm seeing it from another angle where I'm like, I'm going in looking for it. And it really isn't there until
about halfway through the first
season. It isn't there, but then there's a couple moments, but to me I'm like, but there's a couple moments of other things too.
Yeah.
So it's an homage in the same way that it homages a fuck ton of other anime and
yeah, that's
other
about
cool
right.
stuff. Including like at one point like Connie wears a Gohan costume, you know
yeah.
what I mean? Outfit.
But like my like I don't know what you call it, thesis or thing, it's like if you can use your knowledge of the other thing to predict the story, then it becomes not a copy, but like directly influenced by instead of homage.
Dragon Ball is
and a that's not a problem.
Dragon Ball
like, that's
is a,
not a diss.
No. Dragon Ball is a slice of the homage pie, but there's a ton of other
and Dragon
slices.
Ball itself is an homage.
I guess it's not the biggest
way.
Slice of the pie.
I guess it's because it comes out of nowhere to me, because I said, aside from fusion dances, I was like, this wouldn't be here unless Dragon Ball existed. I never once thought once ever that like this
no,
has anything to do with
I
Dragon
think,
Ball other
yeah,
than
I'm seeing there's dude, you've got your Akira references, you've got Pokemon in there.
You have
there's
your
Saint Seiya
moments. What's the name of that fucking
yeah. you know
the
like,
hole made for me?
Amigara Falls.
No, what's that?
Amigara Falls.
I lost it.
Yeah,
when that
there.
Happened.
It's there.
All I know is that I want a Final Fantasy game that's done entirely with golf clubs. Because that's what Final Fantasy
yeah,
needs
right.
to be
that
to
was
survive
a good, that was a good interpretation
this century.
Game. But,
that's why they haven't shown the latter half of 15 yet.
But yeah. like I said, I'm
golfing
about,
with Dad.
I accidentally saw
okay,
some,
there it
some
is.
All right, future
there.
Episodes, but like...
Shucks. You're right.
Oh, at cons and stuff?
But like, and I saw
there's
like,
a
second
spoiler like behind me right here.
Yeah, whatever. I didn't look too hard at the art there, but no, it's good. Get your,
no, don't
yeah.
show it to him.
Not much
I'm
else.
Glad, I'm glad you like it. It's
yeah,
good. Yeah.
That's not much else to really say
there's,
about it.
There's good. I find there's really good character depth considering it's like us like a kids show. Quote
I
unquote,
will totally agree. Say, yeah. I will say that like fucking first. Like, like you said, first seven. I said like first 20 episodes of Steven doing the dumb kid trope infuriates me.
Okay, so I'm not totally insane. Okay,
just partially. I know that it's
that's fair.
I know that it's like what the show's supposed to be, but I just I it makes me feel like if I had to take care of a kid like that, I'd fucking lose my patience.
Yeah, that's right.
I guess you don't love people as much as the Jones, though.
No, it's just children.
No, man. Hold on. Children aren't people.
Some like, of them are.
You know how we...
Liam is a person.
Maybe 1 out of 100 kids is worth not murdering.
Like, if you... It's the same way we...
Pat talked about casting bullets earlier.
So
and that's
so,
probably the most casting of bullets
for,
yeah,
the,
exactly.
for the same reasons,
I was a good kid.
For the same reasons why we hate child actors in everything. I feel like just
it feels like it's Anakin Skywalker running around for the first like a little while.
Don't do this thing, Steven. Okay. Oh, I just did it. Uh-huh.
Except that Steven's
coming,
funny
you know?
And charming. Like, that's
eventually,
the difference
eventually.
Between
eventually.
Anakin...
Eventually.
It's a sliding...
Never.
Sure. It's a sliding scale of tolerance where the is a seesaw, right?
Mm-hmm.
Between child annoyance and genuine charm, right? And the difference is that me and Wooly, the seesaw tipping point, is farther over to one side because our tolerance for the child annoyance is way lower.
Especially when it leads to everything getting all fucked up.
Yeah, the bit where, like, oh, we blew up the historical site because you forgot, like, oh...
But
yeah.
I think that's what's amazing about it, because as it goes on, more competency is displayed.
And that's
I totally agree.
And that's why I like
that's
the fact
why
that...
I think that's why that's there, because guess what? Even me, when the first, maybe, I don't know, 5 episodes, until the millionaire of the Tigers shows up, I'm like, he's a little annoying. I hope that changes. And it did. And
even
I was like,
he says, wow, I'm annoying in that episode
and,
where
and,
he is a bunch
Pearl
of
says,
around.
You know, sometimes maybe... Even he can be a little obnoxious.
Yeah.
early on.
But that's that's exactly my point.
Pearl has a similar like curve of like she's terrible to start and gets way better.
No, she was great from the beginning.
Nah, it's actually I noticed a weird change where like they've made her more crazy and neurotic as time has gone on.
But they every do it episode, in the way. She is slightly more crazy until she's like turning into me.
It's almost like a Simpsons-esque character arc over seasons happening in one. Where she starts out as just a very doting, nervous mother type, and ends up making crazy hide behind Garnet. Oh my god! Faces that she was not making for the first 20 episodes.
And then you get to
episodes.
The season two, and it's just like, whoa!
But that's way more entertaining and a better use of the neurotic, doting
trope
than just being no, can't do that. I'm actually kind of crazy.
Pearl's a way better Chi-Chi than Chi-Chi,
of course. Ooh. And then you have the freak out moments that of her like yelling fix something that she didn't mean to yell and whatnot.
She's totally busted.
That show has the highest amount of whoops. The adult said the wrong thing to the kid I have ever seen in anything ever.
And then they put their mouth to their
and they go and then the music drops out.
Right.
And everyone gets really awkward and it sits on it for like a minute. You're just like, oh no. I love it.
Yeah, no, that stuff's all really cool. But ultimately, like,
this is just kind of where I am. Whereas, like, we're midway through. Technically, it's weird, really weird how those.
Yeah, dude, those seasons slam on the brakes when they take
midway
breaks.
Midway through season three, I guess technically, I'm still not sure.
I thought it was season two.
Well, that's the thing; it is season two, but they sell it in like a different format. Because I know what Matt's talking about on the Xbox; it's sold in like groups of 13, and
on
the Xbox
season.
It says we're midway through season three. But it in reality, because I looked it up, because other people were telling me otherwise.
I looked at the episode list. Season one is
season two. But the way Microsoft or the way it's sold on the store.
I looked on the wiki. Yeah. Season one is like 52 episodes.
But like midway, where I am in this, what's going to happen next? Oh my god, I can't wait to see.
Yeah.
And that's kind of my problem with Adventure Time, where they just put like. Three seasons of just bullshit craziness, and then when we can't keep this up forever, let's actually start putting some story, and by then I'm like, I'm sorry, I'm tapping out.
Why?
I can't. Because you took too long to get here.
But the Adventure Time's draw isn't the story.
Well then what is it?
The adventure.
Of what?
Of Finn and Jake.
Yes, and then where's my dad? The Ice King has all this crazy stuff going on. They waited long to start throwing that.
Adventure Time doesn't focus on plot like Steven Universe does. It focuses on setting.
I think
everything you learn in a plot of Adventure Time has to do with the past.
Well, I just mean like any narrative that's just self-contained stuff all throughout keeps my attention, personally me, less attention because I'm like, well. The next episode is going to be about nothing.
My perspective
and Steven
is that
Universe does do that. I remember I talked to Plague. Sorry, Willie, really quickly.
Yeah,
Plague,
me and Plague and Matt had all this different conversations that ended up being the same.
Plague
but
just
tone.
Goes, "I all I can say is that I want to see the next thing." And then, oh, it's an episode about Onion. And no, I don't want to see that right now. I want you to continue the plot. And it does do that, but it does it with like episode plot nothing.
Nothing. Adventure Time to me is like Futurama in that. The plot episodes that do happen are gravy, and they're icing on the cake. And I enjoy the usual adventure, generally.
Actually, some of my least favorite episodes of Adventure Time. Futurama, rather.
Oh, okay.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Except for a couple of choice ones.
No, for me.
Most of them are...
Because everything about Fry being, like, special is amazing. I can't get enough of that shit.
I have a thing with Futurama where I'm like, Futurama was completely ruined by the company that... put it out.
Mm.
Fox destroyed it. Futurama.
I think part of the problem here is expectations. So, I knew going into Steven Universe that there was a plot.
I don't think it's expectations. I just think they're different kinds of show. I prefer how Steven Universe jumps to the plot.
The way that Matt describes Adventure Time is that he went in going, where's the plot?
And right. after three seasons, yeah. I was kind
of
getting
tired. And I went in going, man, that video of them
that little trailer on the YouTube
was amazing.
That's it. That's
I love this
here.
Goofy shit.
When I started Adventure Time, it was like, that video on YouTube was fun and crazy. I want to see more of that,
no,
and that's
I
all
do,
I had.
But after three seasons, I got tired of looking at the same thing over and over and over and over again. And then when they finally started doing some new and more interesting things, I was kind of like, well, I'm not, my interest
okay.
is not
okay.
there.
This is an actual we'll have to agree to disagree.
Well, for once,
yeah.
the default flavor of the cake was not to your liking, is what that was.
No, they fed me the same cake for three years.
I'm in the same boat as Matt. I watched it when it was coming out, like, for the first three or four seasons, and I got fed up. Honestly, I got fed up. That's it.
That's a shame.
Well, all that to say that I think that the in like yeah that first part of Steven Universe, like you can see them trying to find their way,
yeah.
you know, with the characters, and like they're like, okay, we need to turn up Pearl a bit more, and like
I don't know about that. Like most
that
shows
pilot.
Have the entire season written at once, so
but no, but
you
it,
should
like,
see that pilot where all the characters have this even
the pilot
weird
is fucked up.
Art style.
I hate the pilot.
Well,
yeah.
whether or not they turn
like
the dial up,
yeah.
there's a very visible difference.
I would imagine
Pearl
that,
starts acting.
I would
way
imagine
crazier
there was a clear progression from, written into these characters.
Like, cause she just like I, there's like a whole bunch of like panicky, wide eyed faces she started making that
yeah,
like
yeah, yeah.
up until that point there'd been like a good 15 episodes.
Well,
she'd
the, yeah,
done
the
that.
More the
like,
more you
well,
find out about the actual plot,
you,
the more
you specifically
Pearl
are
gets,
not even
yeah.
to the real like. Oh shit! Moments,
I believe
yeah.
it. I believe it. But I, yeah, that's why I'm coming at this as you know the,
yeah.
the early
yeah.
thing.
Okay,
yeah,
you know what? We're
Steven's
spending far too long on all this. Actually, I'm sorry, but
sure.
you're not even done your week.
No, I was trying to get that out.
Well, I'm canceling that. I'm dream canceling that.
That's too mad to
I
take it.
I just looked at the time.
Jesus
that's
Christ! Too angry to take it.
I watched the Attack on Titan live action movie.
I want to hear
how
you talk
was
about
that.
I guess I'll give the shortened version of that. What happened?
No,
was...
I want the raw details. Because you told
it's
us a little bit.
It's just that we know, well, anyway, you know.
Yeah, yeah. So, EO10 Onslaught.
What?
The live action is...
That's what that's called?
Are you serious?
No, it's not called
that's
that.
That's the fucking...
This is the
Google.
Joke.
Kami subs
just
doing that.
Yeah,
that's the joke.
I'm an idiot.
So, everything involving the actual Titans, and everything involving the special Titans being the Colossal and Eren... is fucking cool.
Yep.
Yeah.
Looks dope. They put all the money there.
The new trailer that came out shows that off a little bit more.
And that shit was, like, you can't... It's like, you can't fuck that up.
All almost. The regular Titans are shit green screen Titans.
All the regular Titans just look like Japanese people in zombie
making
makeup
dope faces.
Behind a green screen.
Yeah. Going, hey, what's going on, guys?
And there's something that they do that fucking ruins it a bit, because, like, they make the Titans make noises... Like, not just the random, like...
Oh, you're
going to
go into spoilers, by the way, right? For anyone who wants to see the movie?
If you want to go see the live-action movie of Attack on Titan, yes, I'm going to start spoiling.
Scrub forward
okay,
a little
yeah.
bit.
Yeah.
Good,
because so,
there's different stuff that happens.
So they start making, like, little weird laughter noises, and the
no.
Colossal makes, like, a roaring kind of, angry noise.
Yeah.
And it's just so... It, like, it gets,
they're supposed to be totally emotionless.
Yeah, it gets rid of, like, the creepy silence and or the creepy,
yeah,
just,
how
like,
animal they are.
Yeah,
yeah.
There's, you know,
well,
not,
that was,
not
that was never appealing.
That, like, the times, it's not that they were always silent, but they never had, like, outright bursts of laughter and, like, animal-like screams.
They didn't show clear emotion.
They
even when they were getting taken apart, like,
along.
They would just kind of look around.
They would have whatever facial expression they
droning,
started
yeah,
with, and no matter what happened, that facial expression would remain, except for the one that yells in, like, episode 7.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah, so it looks like a bunch of... Bad
bird,
filmmakers said,
like,
we need to make this more scary.
Yeah.
So let's make them more monster-like.
But that makes them less scary.
Because
yeah.
what's creepier than a monster that doesn't act like a monster?
Yeah.
What's creepier than a thing yeah. that doesn't have any emotion?
I'll tell you what's creepier than that. A guy reaching around and eating an apple.
So then the other parts that are not Titan-related are just fucking comedy.
So Levi's gone.
Levi does not exist anywhere in this movie. He's been completely removed. And replaced with a new type of character.
You.
Yeah. Has been replaced with a new type of character that is basically the new adult badass trainer type guy. The setting of this movie changes things around so that in that initial fucked up, like, breakout where the kids are running around and screaming to survive. Aaron thinks Mikasa dies for, like, the first half of the movie.
It's a bit different.
And then eventually meets up with her later when they're all in the core, and she's a badass because she's been training under this new guy.
Mm-hmm.
So first things first, when they go out, and with part of, as part of the fucking recon group and whatnot, doing their searching and shit like that, you know, important key note is that in this world where technology doesn't exist and is, of course, banned,
mm-hmm.
You don't have horses because you can't do that in Japan when you're filming a movie.
So no, of course
you
not.
Get
where are you going
to
get a
military
horse?
To jump into their APCs and their tanks and drive.
Wait, what?
Into
on Titan.
Drive
attack
beyond
on
the
tanks.
Wall with in their APCs.
While you're in right. the APC discussing how we ban technology.
While you see busted helicopters on the rims of the wall and, like, Aaron is introduced on an unexploded bomb.
When you told me that, I grabbed my head and went, oh
yeah.
God, did the movie just spoil the manga from like 2 years from now?
I wonder.
I don't think it possibly could have.
I hope it did.
I don't think he would let that ship
you
fly.
You see the very clear, like, outdated future tech that's dead and busted in the background everywhere type of shit. Post-apocalyptic.
Now, what are the three walls?
Maria,
Rose,
yeah.
and...
What's the last one?
Cena!
Anyway, so they do that. You get the fucking Aaron walking into up to Mikasa going, oh my god, I'm so happy you're still alive moment. Mikasa's basically on the piano going, yeah, fuck your shit.
Sure.
You know, fuck you, get the fuck out.
You dump
and
my wife.
And Aaron gets, then an apple from off screen hits him in the face. We see the captain cool dude sitting on a chair.
Put a penis in her mouth.
Basically get up and go, oh, I'm sorry, was I eavesdropping on something? Walks over, picks up the apple, takes a bite, reaches his arm around Mikasa, and feeds her the apple while staring at Aaron. As Aaron, like, looks in, takes in the scene, and then pulls Akira Yamato
This is my bitch now.
180, run away, as the guy just feeds her his apple. Like, it's like a Dave Chappelle thing.
And you asked me and Pat, and we answered it perfectly. What does a Japanese man do after he's run away in anguish? After he hits the floor.
What is the epitome of drama and acting and emotion in live-action Japanese film?
The epitome of it?
Yeah. What's he do?
Nothing.
No.
Every time there's one thing to show that this
Three,
is an actor.
3, 2, 1. That's in the new trailer. It's not
into the sky.
It's not overlaid over the right footage, but in the new trailer, you can hear what I'm going to assume is that moment. Where you can hear Aaron go,
it's the fucking. Like, the yell at the sky.
At least it wasn't a Titus laugh.
Yeah, well.
And
almost. Better.
Right? So the audience at this point, everyone looks at each other and just bursts out laughing, and it's great. That Fantasia crowd is all in there. And then you get the
literally
fucking...
Sorry, just stop laughing.
And then you get the dream cancel that is this other random girl in the troop walking up to Aaron at that point, going, hey... Don't worry about her, come with me. And puts her hand on his face, and Aaron's like, okay. And she's like, yeah. And she's like, hey, aren't you the single mom that, like, had a kid before? And she's like, yeah, I hope that's okay. Here, why don't you feel on my titties for a while? And Aaron's like, what? Okay. And he's doing
this
it.
This actually happened.
And then, like, while his arm is in there, and then she, like, mounts over on top of him and starts getting to business... And then as she leans down, the camera, like, focus fades to a crack in the window where they're having they're doing their business. And another a fucking military couple is doing their thing on the floor next to them.
What is this?
And the crack in the window, all you see is a Titan eyeball staring in through the window.
What is this?
And then the Titan goes, and reaches in and pulls her off of him and bites in.
Saving Aaron.
And Aaron just stares at it. So good times roll.
That's not fun.
Let the good times
now
roll.
Now I have to take care of her child.
The spoiler that I got beforehand was another one was that there's a kiss in the
there's
movie
a
was
kiss.
What I was told.
Oh, this is my favorite.
Aaron just makes out with that Titan for like hours.
So the movie goes by and you get the awesome moment. It ends right where Aaron gets eaten, right? And then you get
that's
the whole thing.
Yeah.
And you see, and then he pops out and does the whole thing. Fucking, Armin picks up Eren's arm and goes over to Mikasa and hands her the arm and goes, Eren's dead. And, like, she's just looking at the arm having that freak out moment, and it's the most surreal, like, who does this?
Yeah.
Armin would, because he's a weirdo.
The guy that was feeding the apple is surveying the battle scene of everyone dying and getting eaten and basically almost smirking to himself.
The only way that could be creepier is that he takes the arm and puts it around Mikasa and forces her to eat it. Yeah.
Well, no, the arm is holding an apple.
Yeah.
Right? So we get through to the credits, and I'm like, oh, shit.
That's weird. I wasn't in there.
I guess I was lied to, and everyone in my row that I told it was going to be there looked at me and went, Wooly, what the fuck? You know? And I was like, I don't know. I heard. And then credits cut off, trailer for the second movie, End of the World, and bam, right there, Eren and Mikasa doing the Sonic and Maria moment.
We were talking about this.
No! Oh!
Yeah, we were talking about this a few months ago about another movie. I can't remember. But what fucking movie has the audacity to put their post-credits scene in the trailer?
A Japanese movie.
Fuck's sake.
20th Century Boys did the same thing.
I was thinking of not a movie, but when you get to the end of Heaven's Word and get to the post-credits scene, the post-credits scene of Heaven's Word is the stinger of the launch trailer.
Yeah,
it's a lot of
international movies do that.
I think the first or second Berserk movies have a look at the next movie.
It's crazy.
Towards the end.
Which some people are thinking, what's the difference between that and what Marvel does?
Yeah.
Well, the Marvel thing is a scene and not
just in that actual trailer.
And it's like,
I mean what Pat said, which is the trailer of the movie shows
the final image of the movie. The final line spoken in the FF14 launch trailer is the final line in the game.
Oh, yeah, okay.
And in the Attack on Titan trailer, they show the final scene of the movie.
Because the whole game, you're going like, when are we going to get to that? And you get the post-credit sequence, you're like, no!
I've described my favorite of all time, Japanese Lord of the Rings trailer, man.
Yeah.
First shot, the ring is mine, says Frodo. Like, what are you doing? Anyway.
That's good shit.
Sorry, so yeah, that's my week. I ran long. And oh, yeah, I signed up for a boxing gym.
Kick my ass? You don't need boxing to do that.
I give it 110%.
No, I just want to, if possible,
but I need you to squeeze out that extra 10%.
I wanna have fun while, like, working
Beating
out.
Beating people to death!
I wanna have fun while working out, and normal workouts aren't fun, so we'll see where this
Fair
goes.
Enough.
So my week got a lot of fun working out at my local gym. actually didn't. It's the first time where a guy looked over me, a hot bod handsome face, and looked at what I was doing and smirked.
Oh,
and I quickly put my stuff back on and left.
Because
I can't handle that shit, and I know I'm like of age that I shouldn't let that
Well, you're
me,
bigger
but,
than
but
me because I'm not even at that gym because I can't handle it.
But still.
So I just kind of ran off. But
take the ego boost.
What ego boost?
No, that's... How is that an ego boost?
Are you telling us to do drugs? What are you going for?
Nothing.
Okay. Bearing right after that, that was the day of Dragon Ball Z, the erotic awakening of F.
Yeah,
which,
the erotica of F.
I had a good time watching it, but other than that, that's a two-part episode that they packaged.
That
as
movie,
a movie
has one kind of absurd problem. I really liked it. It was fun, but it has the one really absurd problem, and that is that there's no threat at any time
in the entire movie for even
1 second.
A friend I know who saw it said that it's a 7.5 for Dragon Ball Z fans and a 5 for people who...
He was right when he said that, which is an abysmal review.
I'd say that the only actual good, like, oh god, I had fun watching that was clearly things that Funimation dubbed in that I couldn't believe would be in the Japanese original, because they're too on point.
Yeah.
They're too on point to what Dragon Ball Z fans would actually like.
Yeah.
And I won't go into it, but the comedy of Dragon
Fantastic.
Ball Z, The Erotic Awakening of F, is that's on point.
Yeah.
The fighting, I was... Actually, all the Z-tier Z fighters had really good fighting that was not reused. There was constant new animations of, like, actual martial arts being used.
But there are bits where Frieza and Goku literally do that old shit where they're just flailing around.
Shit, and it's Vegeta. If Vegeta was not in this movie, it would be an absolute do not watch.
But he is.
But he is. So I enjoyed it.
I love you, Vegetable.
Vegetable Man. They actually portray Goku as the biggest detriment to the Z Team and life on Earth.
That's
ever.
Probably my favorite part of the movie is that for the first time ever, someone goes up to Goku and goes, "Dude,
you're an idiot.
You're the strongest fighter in the world right now. You constantly let people kill and blow up the Earth, and because you just go, 'Oh, we'll fix it with the Dragon Balls,' you're an idiot.
I'm gonna wait till you get stronger.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
No, murder
like
him. You're
so, and like to the point where like the character says to Goku and Vegeta, like, you know, if you guys didn't have your heads so far up your own asses, no one could beat you ever in the universe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But your heads are so far up there that you'll just stand there and watch the other one fucking die.
Put the Earth's life on the line because it's got to be fun.
And and one of the best moments, not really have to do with the movie itself, but they show, like, some sort of afterlife, kind of Snake Way-ish place towards the end. And I go, where's Benoit?
Yeah.
Just love to have seen Benoit just making the rounds.
I just want
to
point out that, like, the circumstances of that outing, like, I think the way
we were all laughing at
the way we set up, sure, you do that anyway, yeah. But the way that we set up when we go to see movies, I think has kind of just spoiled.
That was like after we had our fun, like that was the actual takeaway.
Because the way we go see movies, us four,
whoever announces the movie,
"Do you guys want to go see a movie?"
gets all the tickets.
Then so that person gets the tickets at the same time.
If I was to say, "Let's go see Terminator Genesis," I'll get all the tickets to Terminator Genesis,
and then we
and
all
give
meet
them,
up,
pass them out,
and then we all meet and up and do it, and then exactly to make sure that it doesn't get sold out in time or whatever. But most people don't do that. So when we got invited in this instance, unfortunately, it was just an invite. The tickets would be procured.
He listens to the podcast. You're going to make him feel bad.
No, and I'm sorry. I'm totally sorry. It was my fault for assuming that.
Yeah, me too. It was my fault too.
Oh, yeah, for you as well, right?
The only reason I and Matt got through that hurdle is because every time this happens, I always ask, just in case you guys specifically don't get me a ticket.
Right.
So I asked, and then Matt was the one who spoke to him like 2 seconds later, and then it was an offer.
But even before you guys, my other groups of friends were the same way. So I'm so accustomed to that, I assumed it was...
You gotta go back to normal.
The unwritten rule. And that's what happened, you know? It wasn't a big deal. It's totally my fault for not saying anything. But
movie etiquette is weird.
But a lot of people say that Battle of Gods, and Pat, you saw that.
I did.
The other side that has almost also nothing going on.
It's more interesting. But Frieza is more interesting.
It struck me also that Team Four Star, specifically Lanny, made a review saying this seems more like an ad for Super DBZ.
Boy, is it.
Because when Super Saiyan God Super Saiyan shows up, he's literally like, "Hey, look at my new form, 1995. Buy the action figures. Yeah. Watch Super DBZ."
Absolutely.
And it really struck me. And the form, I'm sorry, does nothing cool, doesn't look cool, and shouldn't be there. It's absolutely useless.
Is it the blue hair or the red hair?
Blue hair.
Yeah.
Red hair's gone forever. You'll never see it again.
That was SSG5 God. Or whatever, right?
That was Super Saiyan God.
Okay, I believe.
Red hair used to be SSJ4 Fusion Gogeta.
Yeah, okay, thank you.
Why would your eyebrows grow back?
Why would you lose them?
Why would you lose more
hair? Why does SSJ3 make him lose his eyebrows?
No, that's fine, because it's...
What?
No, because it makes him look more bestial.
That's weird.
But if you ended on that, okay. But if you keep... Anyway...
Why would SSJ4 give him black hair?
But I, as a kid, was like, oh, it's so cool, it brings it back to zero.
This shit's not canon. Super 17's the best part of that.
They mention GT in this movie slightly.
How?
They go, "Hey, there's our new daughter, Pan. She's going to grow up to be super strong one day." And I'm like, that's enough to make me go...
Stop it.
GT.
Yeah.
Stop.
I had a lot of fun watching that. Frieza's great.
I had fun, but I would never watch it again.
Yeah, that's accurate.
No
plot. I'll watch DBZ movie 13 like 100 times.
Yeah, I'll watch
it.
Do they
treat Frieza like X treats Sigma in X8?
No.
Everyone is just exhausted of your existence.
No, slightly. Not
because that's how you sell me on this. Is if Frieza comes back and everyone goes, are you fucking kidding me?
Initially, everyone goes, are you serious?
Frieza, and we killed the shit out of him.
And then when he shows up, they go, oh no!
It's a real threat again.
But he's not. Anyway.
Okay. There's a great moment in that movie where they're like, oh, Frieza's coming, and they're like, oh yeah, we take care of him in like 2 seconds.
Because it's like, how could he be a threat?
Right, and then once he actually shows up, they're like, wait a second.
Yeah.
He's new.
Yeah.
But
it is shitty because you're right. He's got to be in and out within 50 minutes.
Yeah. Like, I also went to Otakuthon, and I was very confused about that registration process. I don't understand why there's pieces of paper that say cash only, and then when I show up and I go, I can't find a cash machine anywhere, because Wooly knows what I'm talking about.
Right?
Because there's says one cash only, machine in the entire...
You fucking 180 go down to the Kushtar to get to wait in line to take the money out.
Wait in line for 4 hours.
And then you go back upstairs, and when you go to the desk, they've got an debit machine right next to them.
I need to find out what the deal is, because any other event that I've been to, the Palais de Congrès, Beer Fest, Montreal Comic Con, between every pillar of the main dealer's room, there's always a single cash machine.
They don't want to pay for the machines.
I guess
that
not.
That has to be what it is.
There's many places that their vendors that were like, we only take cash. Mm-hmm. And there should be. There always is.
That makes sense.
Con.
That's just
there
how
should
that
be more
is.
Machines.
But like at least one in the main dealer's room.
Yeah, absolutely. Totally agree.
But, you know, the actual place still had some fun stuff. I got some cool prints. I hung out with the entire dork squadron. All the dorks were there, and Liam probably made my most favorite tweet of anything over the weekend.
Yeah.
Which is, we all go to Steak Frites, which, guess what? Has steaks and fries.
You want something else? Fuck off.
Yeah.
And
unlimited fries.
Well, that's Montreal, man.
Matt gets super drunk, and the waitress is coming around with the fry bowl, and she's like, you want fries? And Matt starts pounding on the table and yelling, the bits.
And I barely remember this. I remember anything else that happened that night. I walked home.
Yeah, exactly.
I went to bed, whatever. But I remember yelling the bits.
Matt was yelling for the bits at the fry restaurant.
Yeah.
And the waitress was like, and I was like, it's easier to just give him what he wants.
She's like, well, what are you doing?
Because you see the bits.
So you had a fun time. I also started rewatching Korra with the missus because she's like, "What's Korra seems cool," and I'm like, "It's pretty cool." She's like,
"What's the state on the original?" Watched or unwatched?
Me watched her. I'm like,
that's a weird one. Okay,
and I just went, "Look,
that's fine though. You can watch.
Yeah,
it
you totally can."
I go, "This character is the Pope."
Yeah.
And the Pope switches between people every couple of centuries.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Did you watch Avatar?
I did,
yeah. Okay, yeah.
Yeah. And the main thing I said,
She's
jumping in on Korra because I'm like, I think you would just like Korra better.
You'd like this Pope better than the old Pope.
Yeah. And she's like, fine, I did describe the one episode. What's the greatest episode of Avatar The Last Airbender?
Ember Island Prayers. Or what's it? Ember Island Memory? What's it called?
I think you're saying it, but...
It's the one where they put on the play. That goes over all three seasons.
Okay, no, that one's really
good.
Or
the teen sex romp.
The teen sex romp on the beach! And I just start talking to...
Zuko's just trying to be Freddie Prinze Jr. and he's failing.
And it doesn't work. And she's like, okay, I know, I need to watch that at some point. But we watched Korra. We're almost done the first season. We did it
did
really,
Jet
really quickly.
Die?
It's not Sorry?
Did Jet die?
It's not very clear. So we're enjoying that because I got through halfway through season two and I didn't have any other avenue which to watch, and I was too lazy to get it. But we're just buying the season, so I'm enjoying it. And I don't know where the part where people don't like Korra
season
shows
two.
Up. Season two? Okay.
Yeah.
Well, maybe
season
that's
two is the weakest.
And then it pulls it back after.
Oh, yeah? Okay. I'm looking forward to that.
A weak antagonist.
And,
like, that's his problem. Yeah. Yeah.
And I want to thank you.
That's a bad one.
Yeah.
Because you're stuck with that for the whole season.
No, there you go. Oh, for the whole season, yes.
Yeah.
And I want to thank you all for showing up to probably the most adult thing we've all done as a group in a long time together.
Yeah. Yep.
Which is trying on wedding suits. It went problem-free.
Yep.
No big blowouts or Wardrobe malfunctions.
Becoming adults.
Well, one. There was one.
Well, there was one.
Wardrobe malfunction.
Please get excited for the group prostate checks next week.
Yep.
I'm going to the doctor tomorrow.
So
I
that,
hope they don't do that.
That went
they
well.
Do. Actually, you should hope they do
it's
that.
It's cheaper as a group. You save that. A lot of money.
Yeah. You just all line up.
Use this coupon.
It's like that guy trying to crack all the coconuts in a row.
Use the code William to get through it faster.
Yeah.
Cough and sink. You get the bonus.
So lots of wedding stuff got done. I won't bore you all with the details, but finally getting on top of that, because after the heavy con season we had, just never had a second, so glad I'm getting that done. And the last thing I guess I did is, remember we talked about submerged
boat
game?
Yep.
Awful.
So I heard from some people that they really didn't like it.
Not great. Good atmosphere, good music. The first thing you see when you start the game is a gigantic whale that's made out of a building.
Nice.
It's unclear to see what it says, but it's just breaching the water. I'm like, that's fucking cool. Then I move the main character, and I start doing the main tasks. And how you made a boat way, way worse than the King of Red Lions.
You like, slow it the fuck
you
down.
You slow it down, you make it shitty to control, and you make it not talking. And it's 100 times less interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And the game tries so hard to be a Team Ico game. Tries so fucking hard and fails because the characters talk, kind of.
No.
The characters have little text bubbles.
Nah.
But other parts of the UI are done in silence, and you're just supposed to look at an image and get feelings from it.
There's another game that's in the same boat.
I think I know which one you're talking about.
Called Torin.
That
came out a little while ago out of somewhere out of South America. Better than that one, but still no Ico, of course.
Yeah.
And Brothers kind of feels like it's another
Brothers is different, but Brothers is way better too. Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. Brothers is
this,
really good.
When you control the main character in this, my first thing is that this feels like an Xbox Live indie game. Graphically, it's not, but when you control the main character, it's got this, like, one half of the character animates, and the other half just shuffles to keep up with it. It looks bad.
Well, based on the trailer, I couldn't tell if it was mostly about the boat or being on land.
It's little clustered, really close
like islands and shit.
And just literally going from point A to point B to this structure, climbing up the structure,
puzzles.
Getting something.
There's no combat, no dying.
No combat.
No puzzles.
It's a lot of wall shimmying. Which I saw some review, and I thought it was harsh, but I read it before I went on hands-on, and said, this literally takes the worst moments of any video game and puts them together.
That's
so
very harsh.
Okay, so what's the threat slash, like, risk?
Brother's dying.
Your brother's dying.
No, what I mean is, like, can you fall if you don't net
properly? I don't know. I didn't fail.
Okay, so it's just progression. Okay.
There didn't seem to be a way to fail.
It's just progression.
I repeatedly tried to crash my boat against the whale creature and nothing.
Okay.
So, yeah, that's about it. It's not even cheap. It's like $15.
It's like you could almost say it's half in the bag, but they forgot the bag.
It's half in the boat. Mm-hmm.
So you just got 40 eggs cracked on the ground.
Yeah. Visually, it looked really nice, though.
No, visually, it's solid. It's solid.
Does it perform well? Like, is the frame rate at least decent? Sure, is there? Because I was playing Torin, and like my biggest problem with that was there was fucking screen tearing everywhere. You press any button, screen tears, PS4.
No solving that, then.
Yeah. Well, yes, you optimize your game better.
No, I mean, like, for you to solve, like, because on PC I would show you some stuff. That
yeah,
you
no, of course, of
but,
course.
Like,
but, yeah.
It's like, shit, well, there's no fixing that, then.
Didn't optimize your game gooder.
It's a shame, because the world and concept and art and aesthetic look solid, and I'm just kind of like, I wish this played way, way better. But, yeah, there you go.
That's true.
Yep.
I mean, I kind of... Like,
that's another game I don't have to play.
The sentiment is like, that's some time that I feel like I've regained.
It was never gone, but there was a sacrifice.
Yeah,
like, that time
game.
Had been, like, mentally set aside
maybe that.
So Matt had
position
little orbs
one
that Kratos absorbs.
Yeah,
it's like,
exactly.
Time.
And he got to it. You guys were in position 2 where you were kind of interested and then heard about it. I'm in position 3 where this is the first I've heard of this game. So
we
back,
about
in,
it two podcasts,
back into the ether in my brain.
Like,
it goes.
Remember,
like Assassin's Creed Chronicles.
This thing was made by former members of BioShock team, and you went, I think it was you that said, man, BioShock Tim really likes water.
There's like, yeah, that I do. Now I do remember. I just didn't remember the name.
Yeah,
I wish that fucking Minotaur game would have come out.
Sure.
Be like,
Black Glove or whatever.
Yo, I'm a Minotaur.
Oh, yeah.
My dick is so huge.
It's not about a Minotaur.
Oh, well.
It's a metaphor.
So there you go. I also played Rash and K.I., but we already talked about it. He's great.
He's great. He's cool.
What about you, Liam? What's your week?
Find any bugs?
With Rash, yeah. I played a bit of Rash and KI as well, but I'm not going to talk about him either because he's. What do you want? He's a new good character and a good.
He turns into a wrecking ball.
Exactly.
The wrecking ball beats fireballs.
You played a bunch of. I know you played. I
played some stuff. I played a game called IAVT Colorful that just came out. It's a rhythm game, a Vocaloid rhythm game. Not the first one, obviously. It's by Marvelous, they do a bunch of shit.
Is that a game based on Colorful?
No, it's not. Thank God, not that bullet, right? Yeah. No, it's a Vocaloid named IA, which is the IA part of the title.
Right.
This game, I ordered it ages ago, got delayed like 4 times. It was supposed to come out like a full year ago, pretty much. Finally came out. Boy, you can see where those delays went. This game is one of the most polished games in recent history. Really nice. Like, everything is super slick. Zero rough edges.
Yeah.
The biggest flaw with the game is that the songs are full versions. That's the biggest flaw.
You mean like because, 4.5 minutes?
Because the average playtime for a song is 4+ minutes.
That's
and
long.
Sometimes like you're like, yeah, that was a good song, and you look at the progress and you're like a bit past halfway.
You're at the breakdown.
Yeah.
Is that uncommon?
For the Weebu stuff, absolutely.
No, for most rhythm games, that's very uncommon.
Well, because Rock Band.
Yeah.
For most brands, that's very uncommon.
They play, like, OP versions kind of thing?
Well, no, they just cut out a bit that didn't need to be there, because it's still good at 3 minutes.
They'll play the TV edit of Stand Proud instead of the...
TV edits are too short.
Or radio edit, I guess.
TV edit's like 1:30.
Exactly. Yeah. Cut out that last bit where, like, they just got past the cool bit, and they go back up for one lap, like...
You know, this has nothing to do with anything, but is there anything worse than a song that's outro is twice as long as the core song?
It's not the worst.
Example?
I have none right now.
I don't really know what you're describing.
Like, the good part of the song happens 1 minute in, and then the song is 5 minutes long. Yeah. And then it becomes the outro.
Okay, well, you have to go listen to the opening of the anime Sasameki Koto, because it's the most boring song in the world. It makes me fall asleep when I'm trying to watch that anime.
Okay.
Or when I was.
Sasameki Koko.
Koto.
My favorite Jam Project song.
So boring.
My favorite Jam Project song is like 10 minutes long, and the good part starts at 7.
That's...
And I love it. Yeah, I love the build-up.
I can't do that anymore.
I'm super into that.
Just have the song just be the good part. Just the chorus.
Wow, never listen to Mars Volta, dude. Never.
And anyway, like, really, really good rhythm game. The producer himself already said in an interview he does not think it's going to get localized at all.
Ouch.
Because he said, what, we have 51 songs, like for who? He said, it's a rhythm game, so it should be fine. And I can confirm, totally easy to play if you don't know Japanese. If you like rhythm games, it's super, super good. IAVT Colorful. I also played a fuck ton of Rare Replay.
You did.
Which is the most lavish, like, excellent collection of games in a long time.
I like the word you guys used earlier. You guys said it's a celebration.
That's what it feels like. I feel like there's some notable omissions. Like, I think there's a few too many Spectrum games in there where I wish there was some Game Boy games in there.
More than zero.
Absolutely been represented,
some,
but maybe by like three
some
games.
Some British guy
seven.
Just like spat out his tea and crushed his monocle with his eyebrows.
Crumpets are everywhere.
I want to say there's something like 10 Spectrum games, and I wish they could have just dialed it back by like 2 or 3 just to get some Game Boy games in there because they have
get Beetlejuice.
None of that represented.
Yeah, well, that's what we're saying is the handheld stuff would never get representation.
Well, and it sucks because it's not like they're licensed. Like Conker's Pocket Tales, the Banjo Racing game, and Saber Wolf for the GBA would have been really good entries.
Did they not?
No,
I thought they did.
I don't believe. Maybe I'm crazy, but I don't.
Maybe they did.
Maybe they did, but I think they didn't. I don't know. But amazingly lavish, excellent collection. I played a little bit of every one of those games. Some that I'd never
one
played
you
before.
Just destroyed, didn't you?
Yeah, and. Banjo-Kazooie. When Yooka-Laylee's thing was going on, I remember saying it wasn't really my thing. I was never into Banjo-Kazooie. I completely 100% finished Banjo-Kazooie.
In like a week.
All jiggies, everything, in like a week. Fucking superb platformer. I think, like, what I really like about it is it's a collection of little toy boxes similar to Mario 64, right? But they've stripped away a lot of the difficulty, and they've also stripped away the more linear nature of it. In Super Mario 64, you jump in the painting, and then you pick a star, right? And then that's kind of your goal, and the world gets changed a little bit to suit it.
Yeah.
You can still get other stars, but it's kind of... The game's kind of set up for that one.
Yeah.
In Banjo-Kazooie, it's totally not like that. You have a little open play box world, typically difficulty-wise a lot easier and just more lax and stuff. A huge variety of different things to do at almost whatever point you want, and you can just go at whichever one in almost whichever order.
Yeah, we had a good.
Sometimes you'll need a power here, but
we had a good conversation with Cranky about Mario 64 and Banjo and the comparisons in the video we did. But
no, I'm sure.
Yeah, it's an interesting thing to look at two different philosophies on the same type of game.
It's an easier game, but it ends up being just really fun to just sit down and play because you're never worried about anything.
Well, the most shocking thing is that we booted up Nuts and Bolts, and I've talked about this before, but James sat us down when he was like almost done the game, right? And just showed us some random things.
Yeah.
And actually seen it from the start, I was like, okay, this is a little more interesting now that I know the actual setup.
It's such a strong start.
Plus, I've never seen a developer shit all over themselves about themselves so hard. They're like, oh, this is like one of those games that's never going to sell, like Grabbed by the Ghoulies, huh? And I was like,
then this robot's like, go collect all these things for no reason, and you're spawned into a world, and there's collectibles on every surface everywhere.
And I never saw that when I saw Nuts and Bolts.
It has such a strong opening. Okay. I was really surprised.
Taking the piss.
It brought it back a little bit where Liam was so sure he could platform.
Yeah, exactly.
And he was not able to.
Yeah.
The game was like, no fuck take the car. You need this fucking car.
We spoke about it a bit, me and Matt, but like, it's fun. It's not a Banjo game, and that's the core thing, but it's fun. Like, I'm going to go back to it.
The main thing about this is that I want to play more just so I can unlock the making of Killer Instinct. Because I've never seen that. Did you see about that survival horror game?
What? No.
Rare was pitching Microsoft a survival horror game called Sundown, which literally had the Thing-style character designs for the monsters. And just, they talk about it, they go, it would have been awesome if we could bring this out.
That'd be cool. So it sounds like a DMC situation where it's like, it's the name that made people hate it, I guess, then.
No, that's not true. I played Nuts and Bolts,
got other problems,
and
too.
And I played that for about an hour and got to a point where I had my first vehicle challenge. And then I built what I thought would work, and it completely failed, and I had this, like, like, moment.
Because the sit-down that James gave us didn't really sound
Matt was telling me about
like,
it.
Like, that, I've not had, like, a more, like, reaction to a game in a long time.
As far as the extra videos and whatnot of Cancel Things goes, that's actually on the docket.
They're great.
There's someone put them all up if you want to just check them out.
Of course. I want to unlock them.
Yeah. But for the listener, they're there.
They are there, yeah. So. They're all great, really well produced.
Because I think we'd all agree that this is like the best collection, like presentation-wise and content-wise. Like, we're used to the SNK collections of the ugliest menu ever.
Here's your
followed by the even uglier menu.
Capcom Classics, here's your ROM list, exactly. And, the fact that there's not enough, like... Because those are all Japanese companies, right? And so you feel like they'd never give you an inside look at shit that got cancelled.
Except for Zubaz, yeah.
Other than the video stuff, I think Namco Museum was the best at being consistently, above par.
You're saying, yeah.
Yeah.
But it would be so nice for, like, any companies that we know that have been around for a while to have this type of, like...
Any company with 30 years of lineage, just go for it.
Type of thing where you can get all this kind of dirt out there because... And not in the form of a book or a magazine, but, like, in a game, you know?
Rare Replay's amazing. I would happily buy more collections of this quality any day of the week.
Perfect Dark XBLA is worth $30.
It's a little-known development story, but when the Platinum guys walked out of Capcom, they all shot their guns in the air on the way out.
One of my few gripes about the game is that all the... So, 7 or 10... Well, somewhere between 7 and 10 of the titles, a good amount of them... you're actually getting the 360 version of the game. And that's not a problem. For Banjo-Kazooie, Banjo-Tooie, and
Perfect Dark,
that's not a problem, because you get the, as far as I know, objectively superior versions of those games. For the 360 games, of course, their performance is as it was, so Cameo runs great, Nuts and Bolts runs poor, but whatever. I think my biggest gripe is that those games are not on the disc. So 40 years from now, this collection loses significant value when you can no longer get those games anymore.
Right.
And that's a bummer, because like the idea that there's just content missing from this disc sucks. But
when I think about
totally worth the money nowadays.
Yeah, you'll only be able to get one tablespoon of water and not two.
You still get KI Gold. You'll still get Conquer. Like, there's still a good set of the more modern games on there.
An up-resed N64 version of Conquer, not Conquer Live and Reloaded.
Yeah.
Which I'm actually thankful for, because I say to Liam that I booted up. I have Conquer Live and Reloaded, and there's something about it where I'm like, none of this feels right. The letterboxing is weird. The controls are strange. I don't get it. There's something off, and I just turned it off. I didn't like it. And then we played the N64 version on that's just up-resed on Rare Replay. I'm like, this is so much better. Yeah. It's so bizarre.
And I guess what I'm thinking about...
Gem Force Gemini still doesn't play good.
Well, I don't want to know that.
Was that your question?
No.
I have never heard a single positive thing about that game in my life.
Because you didn't know it existed, and then you heard about it by Matt and him shitting on it.
That's correct.
I just never knew. I only played it for the first time.
Because I had no childhood. I didn't play that piece of shit.
That doesn't mean anything. Yeah.
You
didn't experience Jet Force Gemini.
So the thing I'm thinking about is companies that like fit that criteria. My only issue is when I think of it, it's like, how many of them are going to have games that are not like tied up in some kind of license or publisher issue?
Like your mind,
Rare is pretty unique.
Jumps
in that
to Capcom,
Konami, and Capcom.
Many collections,
yeah. But like, let's get.
I don't want to play fucking Trojan for the 650th time.
But also, like, maybe, but not even with Japanese companies, simply because you would never get this level of dirt. You know what
but
I mean?
You want it.
They never expose that much of their guts.
Then your mind jumps to Midway, and there was Midway Arcade Treasures of 1, 2, and 3, which were still whatever.
True,
now a couple
Midway went far enough into existence that you could do stuff and still have like Battle Stations Midway at the later stuff, and it would still have good games.
But it ends up being like a Namco Classics collection, and that it's mostly just arcade.
I wonder
games.
Who even sure, owns sure, Midway sure. shit now.
Oh.
Everyone owns a little bit.
The trash bin.
Warner Brothers owns a little bit.
It's all Dave Lang, actually.
I think, like, unless you've tried.
Jay owns a little bit.
Thank you. That's what I wanted, Willie. That's what I wanted.
Unless you've, like, been out there and specifically tried a lot of Rare games and particularly disliked them consistently, I think this is an absolute must-own if you have an Xbox One. I've seen people on the internet, like, saying they're buying Xbox Ones for it, and I don't think they're wrong. It is a great collection.
I'm flabbergasted by that when I booted up, and I just booted up to get Rash, and then when we...
But the opening.
You and I took a look at it, and when we booted it up, the opening is just like, oh my god, this is the most British thing ever, and it's amazing.
Yeah.
And just, every time you go on the main menu of a game, it has a funny, weird, kooky comedy remix of the theme of that game. That you only hear in this collection.
Oh, man, the Killer Instinct remix for the menus
is so
lame,
but amazing.
Is it a kazoo
it's just,
remix?
No, it's just laid back. I wouldn't call them goofy. They're just laid back, calm. Just a slow electric guitar going through the beats.
That's the KI
theme. It's really nice.
I know. I'm just saying you're not conveying it with your mouth.
I'm not.
We'll turn it on.
I can never convey
things with my mouth. I guess, like, I'll just say it straight out. Me and Matt, like, we're gonna take a quick look at it for the channel.
Yeah, it's quick. How
quick
is that
look?
Well, we figured, okay, it's gonna be a big, long, 2-hour video that covers all the games, and that'll be perfect. And we both did a cool Predator handshake over it.
Everything exploded.
And then, like, 5.5 hours later, we were like, this can't be one video.
No.
And so it's going to go up as, like, a mini-series, but it's got a really different format
because
it's
shit.
Going through a bunch of games. But we had, like, some of the most fun we've had in a while playing video games.
Specifically, the Spectrum games were stupid fun.
Because some of them
are terrible.
Some of them
we really...
He sucks.
Yeah, it is.
Some of them we really didn't get, and so we kind of glance over them. But some of them we actually had, like, a decent time with. Like, Jetpack, the very first game, is actually pretty fun.
Yeah, even the very first game
was
kind of whatever. And
Saberwolf
is all fucked up.
It was nice to just jump back and forth. Like, you play two like, levels in Battletoads, and then you play all the characters in KI, and then you play a shooter, and then you play a platformer.
Battletoads is unplayable in two players. I never actually did it with someone.
With two players, it's so impossible to beat.
Battletoads arcade is fucked up. There's fatalities and blood.
Breaking news. Battletoads is hard.
No, just have
two players.
Have you played it in co-op?
Yeah.
It's back way, in the day. It's way harder. Of course. Yeah, exactly.
I suffered like you did and everyone else did. Like,
it's fantastic. It's awesome.
Fatality is in Battletoads.
I backed down to Battletoads Double Dragon like a fucking coward.
Yeah. There's a bit in the making of Battletoads where they're like, we were thinking of making Billy and Jimmy weaker so that you'd pick the Toads. And then they were like, but in the end we didn't do that.
That's great.
Amazing collection. If you have an Xbox One, get it.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Super good. You should get it, Pat.
Mm-hmm. I will.
Did you play any eventually. Of it really? Or?
Nope, just bought it, let the download go, and that was it.
Eventually. That's on the list. Like, RE4 was on the list when I was like, I'm not going to buy a GameCube. Well, so when I do get it, then I'll just slap it.
Of course,
Most of my time goes towards things that can't be talked about here.
So, yeah, of course. You know.
The dark shit.
Yeah. Darkness. What's going on?
Not that much to add. Witcher 3 and FF14 are great, but whatever. Nothing new to add on them.
But isn't The Witcher 3 too short?
Yeah, I've heard it's very short.
I love that Gaff had that topic, and then a week later had, is Witcher 3 supposed to be this goddamn long?
Yeah.
It's like, I'm 70 hours in. And I'm really enjoying it still, but shouldn't it be over? I'm an adult. I have things to do. So just play the same game for a longer period. What is the downside? Anyway. Hi, Willie, and a bunch of people at the con. That was a lot of fun. Saw two cracked out homeless people doing it on the street at the con.
I had a just frame miss on that.
I was hanging out with a friend of mine at the con. We were talking, shooting the shit. And I look over, I'm like, oh, don't look over there. And she goes, why? She looks over, it's like, oh, no! Ew! Because they were cracked out. Not great. Not a good look.
Con weekend.
Hey, can I just say something about Talkathon real quick?
Right on the street, right next to the con, with the kids walking around. It's horrifying.
One of them was dressed as a character from Bleach, and the other one was dressed as a character
from Bleach. They were both dressed as that hobo character.
I was going to say Boruto saw it. He was right there. Yeah. What's up?
So we go every year because it's fun and shit, and it's just local and stuff. But man, the management, just get your fucking shit together. Get all the parts of the con working. The fucking game room gets worse and worse every year.
I want to point out what the fuck is going on. As a person who's new to conventions, I went the first 2 years. I did not go to the con. I was at the con hanging out with people. But the idea of, like, even going inside was, like, laughing.
Okay, well, not you.
As a person...
No, because it is getting worse. Like, I saw it from 1 year to the next.
As a person who's friends with the management... And
dude, we all know the management.
Guys, I really do hope that they work on the game room, because...
It was terrible this year.
For one thing, it's the contrast as well from coming from places like SGC... and MAGFest.
I think Con Bravo is the best comparison.
You see like smaller cons with less space doing more with their space.
Doing great game room,
Like, I really want to see that in a Montreal event because it's not living up to the space it
has. No, exactly.
The Palais is a really great venue, and they can work wonders with it if they got that.
The game room was gigantic, massive, and it couldn't have had more than 25 setups.
At the same time, though, between Montreal Comic Con, Otakuthon, and so on, and the other like more sci-fi cons that happen here, you don't really get a game dedicated event.
No,
in
of
Montreal.
Course, of course not.
You know,
but like still,
well, you know, Montreal 25 is setups known is as not having no association with video games.
That's correct.
Yeah,
just nothing going on there.
Somewhere the mascot for Arcadia's bones are rattling.
It makes me miss Arcadia. You know what?
The concept of Arcadia makes me miss. I know at least like 10 people that had booths up in the Artist Alley, and they're all lamenting the fact that like, we were really kind of shuffled around. They gave an area to guests that never showed up.
Nice!
The signing area.
Nice.
They were saying, we could have used that space, people that, Japanese voice actors that were like, fuck you.
You know what?
You're not going to show up for that.
You put the fucking milk at the back of the grocery store. Yeah. So you make people walk through
Not to harp. Yeah, there's some improvements.
Such a big convention. Like, it's actually large.
At the same time, it's grown exponentially every year. Really impressive how it manages to almost double its size.
It's outgrowing management and their ambition.
It's a huge convention.
convention.
Back when it was like, just in the Concordia Hall building.
God, yeah,
that was when it was like...
I wish I would have seen it now.
It was really tiny, and it was like, all right, go up to this classroom for the Tetris tournament. You know.
But like now it's like, get your shit together.
Outgrowing their ambition.
The only thing I have left to talk about my week is after we tried on all of our suits... for Matt's wedding, and everybody got to see me in fucking Vincent Adult Man cosplay, where everything is way too long, and I'm walking around with fucking pants on,
that are full two feet too long for my tiny baby legs. The hem of dress pants
is supposed to be too long.
I know, but it's extra too long.
It was that because there's
but I didn't see that.
You hem it up. That's what it is. Only saw me in my suit,
but I was literally pizza pasta.
Yeah, you pizza pasta all over. It makes sense. Yeah. And I had time to kill before I was going to go meet up with people, so I just said fuck it, and I went and watched the new Mission Impossible.
Shit, I still haven't seen it.
Guess what? It's fucking awesome.
I know.
Really? Shit.
You know what?
It's super good.
The shocking part of that movie is that plane stunt that they keep
showing. It's real!
It's real, but they keep showing it off? That's the part of the movie that has nothing to do with the plot. That's the opening scene.
It always has shit to do with shit.
Yeah. And is literally there just to do that stunt.
Like MI2 and the Rocks.
Am I trying to go on Tuesday or today, rather? It is fucking great.
Alec Baldwin plays like a CIA director who's trying to shut everybody down. Kind of similar to the last movie. He's great.
Yeah, no, so when you posted on my wall, like, surprise, Mission Impossible is amazing. And then, and Plague is like, is it? And it's like, everyone's like, yes!
The villain situation in this movie is fantastic. They have a really good muted villain.
Do they? Because my only problem with Ghost Protocol is I had a shitty ass villain.
Yeah, no, this villain is great because it goes along the trope a little. It's like, former spy person.
Yeah, okay.
So, but they portray them as like, what if Ethan had all the time and money and resources and manpower ever in the world and is better than Ethan?
Right.
Okay.
So,
Spectre.
There's a lot of situations where it's like everyone got played real bad. And the character in the plot that is the are they not double agent flip-flops a bunch, and every single time it's justified, you go, oh, now that's the last one. Nope!
But because the only thing that's similar to that is is Indiana Jones 4, where the Indiana's like weird British friend, he constantly flip-flops. He's like, no, I'm a triple agent. Then Indiana goes, this is ridiculous.
Yeah, but in this one, it's actually a spy movie, so it works.
Oh, okay.
I was watching the Comic Book Girl 19 Epic History X-Men video, and at a random point, they start playing Kremlin with Anticipation from Ghost Protocol.
I'm just
silently nodding as that's going, like, and they know. Like, she knows.
I expect you every time to say, like, I've been watching the Comic Book Girl 19 Complete Collection Blu-ray or something, you know, and every time.
The best collection.
Yeah, exactly.
The only thing I have left to say is that, like, so at the movie theater, I had 10 minutes to kill, and I walked over to that little arcade that they have.
Yeah.
And I saw that they still have a House of the Dead machine.
Yeah. Right?
So before putting any money into their fucking rip-off coin generators, which are now 50 cents for fucking one coin, and shit costs 2 coins.
The exchange rate's really bad in Token Land.
I picked up the gun, and because I know the House of the Dead machine backwards forwards, and messed around with it, like, wait a second. These triggers, which are always the first thing to go on that machine...
Were they in great shape?
They're in great shape, which means they've had to have been replaced within, like, I don't know, like 2 months, depending on use. So, oh, wow, this thing is actually being maintained. That's weird. So I go and I start to play and find out that this thing's maintenance is the most baffling waste of money I've ever seen in my life. Because while the guns have been maintained, and that breaks all the time, the television that this arcade setup is using is being... It's a CRT... that is too big for its own cabinet, and there are 3 or 4 inches on every side
that are just cut off.
That are gone.
Dead.
You can't see the health. You try and shoot zombies that are off screen.
Oh, wow.
That's great. It's like...
I've never heard of this problem.
I've never encountered it.
What a shame, considering the guns.
Considering the gun. Like, you've held a bad House of the Dead gun. It's sad. Because that elastic just doesn't shoot proper. Yeah, that's it. That's my week.
Yeah, so I hope, well, no, it's a shame for the $18 you wasted playing
that. I only put four tokens.
That's all it took.
Which amounts to $18.
A little hand comes out and gestures more. Yeah, more. Exactly. Just, all right.
I can never justify putting
money in. It's the fucking elevator.
It's the elevator. Like, yeah, you put money in, and it goes, it's red, and you're like, more money? And then it eventually turns yellow, like, more still?
It gets to your floor, and it opens up the doors just a little just a bit, and they're like, no, I just need a little bit.
The concept of a pay elevator is still the best thing
ever. It drops
you
off on that weird John Malkovich floor.
Like doing the onion hand gesture, just more.
Yeah.
Keep it coming.
That onion's a
weird
kid.
That's too low.
No.
Why didn't you just use the wand to double ranger guy?
Where are we going?
Yeah.
All right, I'll let you play it.
He'll never get his life together, Dave guy.
So, yeah, that's 2 hours in games news. We've got to start talking about it.
Shit, dog.
Okay, what's actually more?
Games news, Gamescom Roundup. Let's start with the Hellblade footage. I don't know if you checked
it
out.
Yeah, we were watching it before you got here. Still looks
combat
good.
Looks fucking cool.
Yeah.
And that demo didn't really do it justice.
No, definitely not.
But I'm looking forward to someone who's good doing stuff.
It looks like a juiced up Infinity Blade.
Yeah. With Infinity Blade, with
walking.
Yeah, he's right. There, you walking it.
Some of the For Honor like stance.
Yeah, a little bit.
Play is probably going to come in there as well.
I don't think it looks nearly as elaborate.
Not in this footage, but in the first little documentary thing, this is talked about.
The first footage I've seen, and when Will you talked about it, I was like, yeah. And then I looked at it, I was like, nah.
The thing that I want to see that they talked about was the whole you have your full move set. You just have to execute it.
Well, yeah, that's easy if your moveset's really limited.
I guess.
Well, we don't know.
And in this demo, all the player did was just swing.
Yeah. My kind of problem with the combat is that it looks vicious, and there's no circumstances of it having any consequence on an enemy. Meaning, there's blood splurting, and I'm using a huge, heavy broadsword, the guy falls down and his body dissipates, which is lame, and I feel like... I don't know what the game's rating will be.
Do the bodies disappear?
When they hit the floor, I don't know. Maybe we need to see more footage, but the fact that I can't cut off, like, at this point, at least in this footage, I can't
you
cut off
see,
a guy's...
You want to feel it.
Hand,
yeah.
I feel like there's a disconnect
she
there.
She was fighting little ghost demon type thingies, as opposed to, like, human ones.
She was fighting gigantic muscled guys with bone armor.
That teleport in and out in a part of her dream memory
But I
thing.
Think that's
so. Yeah, it could be. You, maybe.
I but just hope that's not the
I
case.
Hope you, I hope that when you are fighting people, though, for sure, I want to see that.
When this was initially
such a big sword.
When this was initially shown, I was like, I have no faith in this. And then when it came out and Liam kind of went, oh, it's more like this thing. I was like, okay, that's much more interesting than what I think you can do, which is make okay, barely like even worth playing games before to something that maybe is a little more limited, but actually shows off your storytelling
and
visuals better, which they are good at.
The most amazing thing would be like if, like, it would be expensive as fuck, but like if enemies, like if you swing your sword and it hits them and then they keep going in that direction because it's a giant fucking sword.
You need the fucking Euphoria engine
kicking in, a little bit of ragdoll that sends them over there. Yes, exactly. Yeah.
It seemed like no matter what way you hit them, it was kind of like Punch Out or Infinity Blade, where they just kind of go, ugh, and then just return back to neutral, where I'm like, oh, that's kind of...
Yeah, you know, the video game thing of like...
It's still early.
You swing a sword through a person and they take damage instead of getting cut in half is still...
Have a frame...
It's a hard problem
to solve. Have a frame skip when you hit them, it helps.
At least some sort of a finishing, like, just put a bead prompt, I don't care. When you don't get the grittiness of... Because the game looks, like, dark and gritty, so not pushing it even more past that.
It's
called
Hellblade.
Need to be,
it's super gritty.
It's Hellblade. It doesn't need to have guts splaying over and eyeballs popping out, but, I mean... Like, Die by the Sword had just...
Of course.
Amputations.
Of course.
And even, you know... needs his ultraviolence.
I need my ultraviolence.
Well, it's more like when it's not a nimble sword, when it's a
big ass. Like,
you expect some hits.
Yeah, you want that visceral fucking feel to it. I agree, but I'm hopeful because this looks like the game that they make that I end up giving a shit about.
Like I was saying to Matt earlier, if they were charging $60, I might not be interested.
Oh yeah,
so
we'll see.
It helps that they're going this lower route as well.
I remain totally ambivalent towards this game.
Oh, what's the price point? I don't know about
cheaper.
That.
They didn't give a number, but cheaper.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Interesting. Of course, we had our Scalebound footage.
Looks great.
Platinum doing something
not that
different.
Much to go on. Nope. Even now.
Platinum doing not platinum.
Yeah.
Because I would expect a sizzle trailer of all the other crazy shit after that gameplay demo.
But
like
it's
a
super
lot of
far away
games
though.
Have, but
yeah, the game
that environment was very Xenoblade.
The worst bit about that bit we saw was the ending, which was winter 2016.
The furthest possible date.
I do like the confirmation that Drew is actually from modern times. Back in time into this fantasy bullshit.
When you see him put headphones on and he's fighting
and
dudes
he's like,
with armor, it's like.
But we weren't sure. It was only after the press release that said.
I'm totally not Nero.
I'm from this
character.
One city that's amazing and everyone
original
else
character,
is
do not
times.
Steal.
The
soldiers saying team unite up was fucking amazing.
Yeah.
Well, everyone was trying to think of things to call it and saying stuff, and in the video you even said like Dino Dante or whatever, and to me I'm just like Nero Hunter,
whatever.
That's
he's
what
his own
I see
guy
actually,
like,
but
he's a different guy.
He is.
But
the devil bringer being on the same hands and the
headphone
having
the
left thing
the
is
hair
is definitely so, definitely
it's similar. Yeah, sure.
It's something that can be called to attention.
I know, but it's like saying like I don't
it's
know.
Like saying that Rubel
it's
was
like saying
Ken.
It's like saying Greg Universe is like Goku.
No, it's like saying that that Ken looks just like Rugal.
Yeah, but I never called Ken Rugal is the difference. Whereas you're calling this guy Nero.
What's the difference?
Just the acknowledgement that they're a different character. It's a different parallel. It's a similar parallel, but it's a different parallel.
I literally don't understand like your point.
Well, I just said he looks like Rugal, like, a lot.
No,
and you're saying,
it's
Nero.
It's not, of course, not taking anything away from it, because I remember you said similar things
like
in Kill la Kill versus Gurren, when we were making some comparisons, I remember you kind of took a similar stance.
Like,
it's not
kind of undermines
it's not,
what
it's,
they are.
But it's not at all out of disrespect, you know? No. It's kind of just like,
that's
this
just
is,
the way I talk,
this
bro.
Looks like a character that is similar to what we've seen before in these ways.
Yeah, I don't want to talk about that, because that's shitty.
It's Nero.
Like the grapple hook like mechanic they have looks fucking amazing as well. I'm really excited for that.
You didn't get to see much of it in the original footage. You saw more of it in the IGN stuff.
I would love a bunch of shots of it. A screenshot to drop right now. It's called Snatch.
Yeah,
but you know,
and he's got a hot dog arm.
My only kind of thing with that, and the thing that said in our Let's Watch, but when it's Drew on screen, he looks incredibly gray and boring. Like his color palette as he moves, like it's not.
Muted.
Like it's too
he's not
muted.
Super flashy.
When he becomes that other powered form, he gets a red scarf, and I'm kind of like, okay, there you go. But the world itself is kind of colorful, but the guys you're fighting are kind of gray, and Drew's color palette there is kind of gray. That was my only like visual thing where I'm like, I wish
I
was.
Yeah, I
want to
get a better look at the Devil Trigger form. Like it looks
like the one from DMC2.
Not really. Like it reminded me of the Dreadnought armor, you know, a little bit.
It reminded me of Dark Sector. The Dark Sector armor.
Some of that. Mm-hmm. There's some more footage of Quantum Break, of course, and that looks...
Dio game.
That looked like I was having fun with the time powers.
This looks way more than like something than it looked like nothing before they casted all these actors.
Absolutely.
It definitely helps.
It looks really, really like gorgeous, and the time power effects are awesome, and I'm actually kind of keen to see like if... Because if the show's good, that'll be a big value add.
If the show's
bad, it'll be a huge negative.
If the show is actually good, that would help out immensely.
Driving all the big actors in that trailer
I'm very skeptical of the quality as well.
I'm skeptical to see if Alan Payne can be as interesting as he was in the former games.
What I'm concerned about, if anything, is that like based on the budget of this thing...
Max Wake is better.
I feel like we might see like half of the game in previews before it actually comes out.
Maybe. I was also going to say, like, I don't feel like the game's really doing anything unique. Like, I think it's really cool, but, like, we've kind of seen these, like...
Is it because...
We've seen time powers.
We're all used to time powers?
I don't know. You know Max Payne, I think you might be right.
Yeah.
But it looks really good. It looks really good, though.
I don't feel like it's Max Payne, though, because Max Payne just
lets you... it's not.
Max Payne lets you aim, but you're still moving slow. It's more Bayo.
It's more like Max Payne.
Where time doesn't affect
you. It's more like Max Payne 2.
Sure.
Where you just start to move faster. Sure. I think actually, this is totally... like just like Max Payne.
I think it's just the natural evolution of what they like to do in Max Payne.
Yeah, for sure.
New hardware. And that's
No, for sure. But like, I know we've seen the bits where like you walk along like little walk and talk paths, and you push like stuff out of the way. And that's neat and stuff. But that's not really like because there's nothing really going on.
I'm thinking back, it's like in 2, you get your bullet time multiplier so high that time would actually stop, which is awesome.
It's the kind of thing where it's like, you know, it doesn't look like it's the kind of video game where you'll just be constantly falling over mechanics.
Yeah.
Like if you look at something like Scalebound or like Ground Zeroes,
it's a lot of
like
shit going
everything
on
you do segues into another mechanic,
a lot of
or
buttons
like options
going on
and shit.
Yeah.
And this game just kind of like, I mean, it looks good. It looks really solid, and they Remedy makes really solid shooters.
They
so
sure
I have
fucking
like
do.
Absolute faith in it being a really solid game.
Like Alan nothing, Wake,
like, nothing
is better.
Super new looking.
Alan Wake is better than Max Payne 3 by a huge.
Yes,
margin.
There will probably be like 6 things you can do with your power that are defeated as you go through the game.
Yeah, and well, and I'm almost certainly going to play it.
I'm going to say really there's solid, 4, and they're matched to your D-pad.
I don't know. I don't think so because you're gonna have a grenade and shit.
Yeah. No, well, maybe we'll
time
see.
Grenades.
We'll
see.
Oh yeah, you combine them with the different weapons. And
sure.
You
sure,
get.
Sure.
Crackdown 3.
I want to be able to punch an enemy and turn him back into a baby.
That thing. Turn him into some sperm,
and then you just hit a baby,
and then you
bam
can just stomp on the sperm baby.
I mean,
now I have your power.
Well, we can start reading the future chapters of JoJo.
Yeah, exactly.
To get there, but. Yeah, we got the Crackdown 3 footage.
So
where they're showing you, like,
that, I read all the details.
That infinite power of the cloud finally manifests.
Destruction only happens in multiplayer?
No, there's limited destruction in multiplayer, like you would expect.
No, you got it backwards.
I fucked that up. Yeah. Right. There's limited destruction in single player, like you would see in, like, a Red Faction. Mm. Right? But to have the super fancy physics-y destruction...
Buildings collapse.
You need to have the what would you call it? Deferred processing by
so,
a cloud.
So the deal is, in multiplayer, you can blow up fucking everything with your buddies.
Everything.
Yeah. In single player, you can't, because then fuck you, how are you supposed to get those agility orbs?
Right, okay, yeah, like, of course that makes sense.
So it is, it does seem like it's a multiplayer feature with a few buildings, and like key buildings in single player.
I guess that's fine.
I'm excited for the game because it just looks like fun jumping around Crackdown.
Because this is essentially made by the original Crackdown team under a new developer. Like it's the same director. Because Ruffian, I believe, made Crackdown 2, and then that was bad and people didn't like it.
That's what made Streets of Rage.
I never played it. Yeah, too bad Sega doesn't care.
Yeah, that tech, provided it works, and they said that the megabyte connection you need isn't going
to
be that high.
Yeah, like 3 to 4.
So,
but they're trying to work
as long
out
as it works in a real scenario, that's cool. Mm-hmm. That's the
looks
one,
really pretty. Yeah.
I think
those power ups should just fall.
I remember
just let them fall to the ground and go
in
get
that
them
whole infinite
oh, yeah?
power of the cloud debacle that everyone was having, and they're saying, oh, you could do light maps, or you could, and everyone was like, you're fucking crazy, you're gonna do light maps. The one that did keep coming up as that's a legitimate
was
possibility
like
was physics calculations.
Yeah.
Because they don't need to be fast.
Mm-hmm.
They can be delayed by latency. Correct. So yeah, hopefully this works out cool.
Crackdown 3, Boom Blocks 2.
Yeah.
You know there is a Boom Blocks 2.
Is there a Boom Blocks 2?
Yeah, there was.
It's called Crackers.
That said, it looks like I'm really excited to play
Crackers
it
down.
Like it's high on my list. Like, looking forward to. Let's
you're gonna have to crack down on Crackdown.
Gone. Watch me crack down.
Mm.
That game better have crack in it. I think it's a huge missed opportunity that
it
there's no crack in Crackdown.
The first two didn't have it, so I was
I think it's a huge mistake.
Crackdown.
Burn up. You're cracking down.
Crackdown, burn up!
Yeah. Crackers Down looks like a movie I'd go watch.
Crack up!
Yeah.
Django, Django Unchained 2, Crackers Down.
So I'm here in Brooklyn.
Burn up.
Yo, who killed Hannibal? Did you see that? Callie kills Mary.
Yeah.
And she's like, who killed Callie?
That's good shit.
Dark Souls 3, we got that trailer that they dropped.
The Skeleton of Friendship.
I'm so glad backstabs are back.
Yeah, legit-ass backstabs. Plague hates this.
Me too. Well, Plague hates everything about Dark Souls.
He's so mad at this trailer for no reason.
He doesn't. He hates Bloodborne. He hates Dark Souls.
What am I missing with the backstab thing?
Okay.
They're just fast and immediate. Like
he
in
didn't
Demon's
play
Souls.
Dark 1.
They're just like...
instant. Okay, so in Bloodborne, you had a setup for backstabs. Yep. In Dark Souls 2, you had that. You had an attack that would hit.
Blood.
Right?
Yep.
In Deaths and Dark Souls 1, backstabs were more or less hit scans.
Are you standing
in a 90-degree cone hitbox behind the character?
Are you in SPD distance?
Mm-hmm. Done. Yeah. You would hit the attack, fast. And on frame one, the animation would start to play, and you are completely invincible during it. It's like a Gears of War chainsaw animation.
So the whole lock-in thing didn't happen?
It did. No, it did. But it was instant, and it was with like under a second.
It's, okay. it's like 8 frames. It's immediate. Yeah. And so in Dark Souls 1 and Death, like, if you circle around the dudes and just tap the button, they die.
Okay.
Yeah.
And seeing that, I don't care how cheap it is. Make the enemy follow me more directly.
Yeah.
Whatever. No. Seeing that, yeah, good stuff. And all seeing like the new monsters, they all look great.
Fucking lots of really big bosses.
Yeah, lots of gray, like a huge amount of grayscale.
Because a combination of like that and like any mechanics and stuff from Bloodborne and maybe some of the more aesthetics and monster designs of Bloodborne,
increased speed is really
Here's
cool
the thing. Too. This is why Plague hates it. It's faster. It is genuinely faster because it looks like a Dark Souls 1 kind of thing,
yeah.
But faster.
Yeah.
And I look at that and go, yeah, and I'm sure Liam does
definitely,
too.
Definitely.
And if you had played Dark Souls 1, you would do the same thing too.
So, well, Miyazaki had some interesting things to say about it too.
Oh, I love this quote!
He said, Dark Souls is my life's work, and everything I came up with for 3 is based on my personal preferences. However, 3 is actually a turning point for the franchise.
Yeah.
So it's not going to be, like, the final or anything.
Well, in the past, he has straight up talked about, like, would you guys be interested in a sci-fi Dark Souls?
Or a mecha game, yeah.
Yeah.
I am interested in a FromSoft fucking mecha game. Just doing... do a Metal Gear Solid 2, and when the game comes out, it's just Metal Wolf.
Yeah.
Armored Core...
Fuck Armored Core! Metal Wolf!
He's looking at launching several new projects.
My favorite part about that all his talk recently is the statement that is basically, fuck you, I can do Bloodborne DLC and Dark Souls 3, no problem, I'm the best.
Yeah, no, that's great.
Everyone, people having fucking panic attacks about him not being able to make a good...
Fuck off! Because it comes out because people were like, is he going to be able to handle running the company and doing Bloodborne at the same time? And it comes out like he has been running the company and doing Bloodborne and Dark Souls 3 the whole time.
Just pulling a Billy moment. No, but fuck you, I'm good.
Yeah, exactly.
But you know what this is? An American or European developer rarely can say this, but when a Japanese director says it, I believe you, because you will forego your family and all your responsibilities to make sure this
comes. Yeah, totally.
You will abandon your life to be the ultimate salaryman.
Will.
120-hour work weeks, here we go.
That's why we love Japanese games so much.
Everything about this game is not salaryman. It doesn't look like it's like a Dark Souls 2 do-over or retcon.
No.
So much as a Dark Souls 2, like, if I add this little story bit in...
No, it looks like Dark 3.
It improves
like fucking
Dark
2.
Kind of thing.
Did any of you guys check out the 20 minutes of Mad Max gameplay?
No.
I checked out bits of it, yeah.
I didn't get a chance.
Like 7 minutes of it, like,
didn't get a chance
ago.
To look at it.
It doesn't matter, because having played it, it's fucking awesome. And I watched about the first 10 minutes of this, and I'm like, just like, yep.
Oh, yeah, it was at Comic-Con, wasn't it?
It was at Comic-Con, and there were tons of dumb bugs that made me laugh.
Yeah, I was going to say, it still looks a bit rough from
good
the footage
job,
into, like, perfect in a technical way, but, like,
good.
But, like, it looks good still, and I like a lot of the ideas. Like, you know, if you drive out far enough, you just get to the big nothing, and it's a fucking sandstorm. When you're exploring in the out-of-bounds area, the sandstorm, there's no hard ending to it, but it's dangerous. You'll take damage, you'll be hurt, and you find rare parts for your car out there. There's an incentive to go out of bounds.
To go way past the world edge.
Well, yeah,
and in actuality,
the bounds are like way past it, but you could never actually
out of bounds are infeasibly out of your
reach.
But it's clear that there's going to be no gameplay there. It's just finding
it's just
stuff.
Loot.
Yeah.
That's
out
what
there.
It seems to be, exactly.
I
don't know if that's random or fixed or anything.
I played it for about 10 minutes of Cranky, and we switched off the controller, and the thing that really struck me, I'm like, oh my god, that's a huge get for me. seeing is that when you talk to characters, they speak like in the Max Payne movie. They don't just do shitty video game dialogue, which is like, go over there, Max, and you'll for sure kill the guards. They have that weird Max,
hey, Max over here.
Mad Max sort of like weird dialogue where it's just like these are weird words being used, but it's another language almost. The way Australian. War boys talk
I
to
want
you.
Every NPC's conversation to be brief and fucking like weird.
Yeah, it seemed like
that's
that.
What I want. I want my mission characters. Objective to confuse me.
I got really confused at one where it said put off. Like, knock off these balloons, these, observatory balloons where people just look up to scan the area, and we tried forever to figure out, we have no resources. We have no guns, we don't have bullets for our shotgun, how are we gonna blast those things off? We just walked around for a while until we kind of found it, and I'm like, okay, is that, do I climb up? And I'm like, the game did not tell me? In an open world game, that's not bad, I don't mind that. And I'm really excited for it, but yeah, Liam's right. Like, technically, it's not maybe the most.
There were some bits I were watching where, like, the animations weren't, like, super, super smooth, and, like, there was some jank going on, but it still looks really fun, so.
Mm-hmm. I'm more interested in it than Just Cause 3.
Absolutely.
Even though Just Cause 3 is still great, but.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I agree.
I'm all totally Max Payne, Hyper Mega Dimension, Neptunia.
That being said, those Just Cause 3 dudes are, like, fucking. I don't know if you caught this news, but it's super interesting.
What?
They're possibly going to be helping out on getting airships to work in Final Fantasy 15.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's the one part that might not be ready for launch. So they're talking to the Just Cause guys because they're super experts at seamless aircraft working in your open world
and
game.
And Avalanche is basically a Square Enix company.
It's their,
exactly. it's inferred that, it's for the airships.
Oh, man, how awesome.
Said he'd like to do airships post-release.
I just had my brain do the thing
that
of, like, they were Avalanche before, but now they're Avalanche.
Now they're Avalanche.
That's great.
That's fucking awesome.
Yeah. I get the feeling that I'm alone on this one, but there was a really new cool trailer for Dreadnought.
Really new.
Really new?
Because you said it's a really new, cool trailer. I'm like, really new?
Yeah.
How new is really new?
It just came out.
Yeah.
And it's just showing off the classes.
Yeah.
If you haven't seen
the non-Dreadnought ships, and then, of course, the Dreadnought ship. And
is it the big ship?
Yeah. It's a fucking huge ship, and it looks like a good time.
Looks
And what is there to say? Do you want to control a Starfleet in a third-person action
game? That's the game for you. I would like to do that,
Yes. Get on board.
I would
There was a new trailer too for really new trailer for Strength of the Sword Ultimate as well.
Yeah.
Where they showed off the like the cannon and a bunch of new enemies and stuff. Still looks great.
Cool.
Looks great.
Cool.
What else you got on there?
We got the Mirror's Edge Catalyst trailer, which continues to look fucking
still
solid
looks
as shit.
Take those guns out. You did, great.
Those guns.
We got the announcement that John Wick is getting an FPS VR game.
Yeah.
Which is fucking
awesome.
Interesting.
The Hotline Miami already exists.
And
so
it's probably going to suck because it's one of the first of its kind.
Yeah.
But it's still interesting.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah, sure.
And if it's great, it'll be the best, because John Wick is so cool.
I don't suppose Keanu Reeves, though.
But, like, the combination of, like a licensed game that goes good is the best thing ever.
Yeah.
Because then you get all the plus sides of a licensed game with all the plus sides of a
good game.
It's
like, if the Mad Max game is really good, then you have the game that goes along with the super amazing movie.
Yeah.
It's a good thing that they just based John Wick on Keanu Reeves.
Yeah, that's right.
That's his life.
And his daily adventure.
It's a real story,
Which, honestly, like, people will see running into Keanu, just walking around the streets of New York and whatnot, hanging out. It's very much like John Wick with his dog.
Yeah.
Keanu, can you teach me how not to age?
No. I'll just de-age you instead.
I already look older than Keanu.
Yes. There was a little mock-up that this guy did.
That goes back on.
He's 800 years old.
There's a little mock-up this guy did for a little, like, kind of pixel-based Adventures beat-em-up game. Avengers beat-em-up game.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've seen it.
Yeah, the makers of Devil's Dare.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So he did this little thing, and he's kind of going like, hey, push this to Marvel if you want it to be a thing. And it's kind of just like, considering, like, every other Marvel game that they're putting out right now means nothing to anybody, except for kids with iPads, I guess.
Yeah,
like,
but it doesn't fit that MCU or whatever, so can't do it.
But
Marvel brands have to
they made it. It was
magic.
Well, it was an Age of Ultron themed pixel beat 'em up.
you know, and like, and they used like some MVC sounds. It looks fun, and you see like he does like a little charging star, and then you know, we'd love to see it come into fruition.
Devil's Dare is pretty solid. It's kind of limited, but it's a very solid game for a beat 'em up. So yeah, I saw this video, and it's just Captain America just beating up a couple of Ultrons, but. Yeah. And they made it in like 2 weeks. So.
It's actually like 2 days, actually.
Oh, right?
Yeah, okay. But it, you know, it's one of those things where it's like, it's very easy to get this to brand with what they want to push currently and also make it a fun, charming game. So please.
So please, please.
Spooky, please.
And we have a segment I'd like to call Nonstop Infinite Trainwreck, in which we get part two of the Pixels story.
What?
Pixels movie?
Yeah, no, but there's a part two?
Yeah. Not the sequel to the movie. Part two of the
movie. Yeah, no, but what can there be more to... What? What is
so
it?
I'm asking
you. Oh, well,
I heard about that.
So one, there's the movie itself.
Trainwreck part one.
Yes, but and, you know, everyone is aware of how painful this is to watch and so on and so forth. Part two is the fucking company that was employed to protect the copyright of the name Pixels online has jumped on Vimeo and sent out DCMA notices to everything containing the word Pixels, including documentaries and non-profit things that have existed for years before Pixels came out, and the original short Pixels was based on, and they got pulled off of Vimeo.
That's great.
Because the word Pixels is being fucking bogarted by this stupid troll patent company that doesn't know what they're doing.
It's like when Jonathan Blow got his own game taken down.
Or got a notice.
No, this is way worse, because this is worse than Edge. Because this is a technical term. This is like trademarking and pulling down shit that things that have the word sky or dog.
It's like
sky dog.
As if you
dogcopter.
Dogcopter's dog shit.
At least, as if you didn't need any more, like, fucking atrocious press.
Yeah.
You know, you've got the...
No, that's at the moment where you double down. You get more. You get so much.
When you're already in the hole, right? Just keep digging.
And it's vexing enough, because, like, yeah, people are coming out of the woodwork going, like, I have nothing to do with anything. I just made a little art project.
And now I'm fucked.
And my video's been pulled off, because Vimeo's got a policy that's identical to YouTube's, and that one claim happens, and it auto-deletes. And the fucking one with the source movie by the guy who inspired your shitty film.
That you alluded to, like you said, based on whatever.
Yeah.
In the movie itself.
Yanked down. Like, what the fuck? So, there you go.
Amazing.
Nonstop.
Thanks, Internet.
Keep it going.
That's a train wreck, right? And another train just didn't get the memo and just kept going and just hit that train that they still hadn't finished cleaning up.
Both of the trains were Pixels branded.
Yeah.
And Adam Sandler was driving both.
Come to the back of the train!
Oh, I just want to say, take 2 seconds, congrats to Team Evil Geniuses.
Sure.
For winning the Dota Millions.
Well, that was the next story, actually.
Are you fucking for real?
Yeah.
With the sandbagging you fucking gave me
the other day. That part of it. The real part of it
you
is...
You fucking cunt.
The real part of it is how the ESPN coverage, as expected, is cringeworthy... But not as bad as you would think.
Good, because the last one was terrible.
Because this is still terrible, but they cut away to someone who kind of knows what she's talking about. So she's trying to deflate the Pac-Man jokes and the playing video games. I don't fucking think of it. And like,
I know what is this nerd shit? Hey, let's talk about the fucking draft for 9 hours.
Actually, what is this nerd shit?
No, you can't be nerdier than us.
Right?
You can't take our nerd away.
I can't think of any more fucking nerd activity than the fucking NFL draft.
Mm-hmm. So just a solid, draft for a fantasy fucking
fantasy football is the nerdiest shit in the world.
And that's cool, man. But it's like, cool. Come on.
Yeah.
So you got the five minutes of these ESPN anchors, you know, and ESPN aired the goddamn
International.
Good.
But
it's,
like,
it's become too big to ignore.
But the anchors, not, I guess, just unbriefed on it, or just, you know, they do the standard, I don't get this stuff.
You know,
apparently,
what,
I missed the boat.
You know what it reminds me of? It reminds me of, before he died, Ryan Davis's, like, rant about the shitty network coverage of the Olympics, in which you had regular-ass TV anchors that were being forced to cover shit like the, fucking
yeah,
the
yeah,
dive.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, okay.
And you're hearing shit like, so we dived into the water really good!
Yeah.
Like 80
yeah.
times in a
yeah,
row,
yeah, yeah, okay.
But with a stereotype on top of
yeah,
it.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, but with bad FGC commentary, dude, it's the best. It's the best.
So
he punched him.
Yeah. We have the next criminal up on stage.
Oh, God. So,
well,
yeah.
Man.
So, you know, you again, it's getting a little bit better, but we got a ways to go.
Yeah, definitely.
I've put a link to it if you want to watch. And
if you
want to
cringe.
I mean, we all had
a little cringe. Face palm for a moment.
I still
and
love
then,
that so, they yeah. got Guilty Gear on TV.
That
like,
was funny.
A few months
ago.
It's amazing. So, this gigantic pair of boobs is fighting this other one.
There's
yeah.
A,
yeah. yeah.
There's a key lodged somewhere in an orifice.
The Wheel of Fate is turning.
What do we know about this Wheel of Fate, John?
I don't know. Is that
and he's
pirate
got,
girl?
And he's like drawing
what age
on the
is her?
You know, the,
sounds like Satanism to me.
Back to you,
Bedman. That's what I. That's where I wish I could be right now.
Yeah. So you know, whatever. That's the link there. We've got interestingly, actually. There's a new show coming out from the creators of Archer called. Cassidy and Clay.
Never heard of this.
New animated show going to be coming to FXX, where Archer is going as well. Let me open it up because I forgot what the setup for.
What's it about?
Cassius and Clay is about. Let it load.
Is
I just
about,
saw a screenshot. It's a cartoon.
There's a screenshot. It looks like Archer.
Looks just like Archer.
Yeah. They're female bandits in a futuristic post-apocalyptic American South.
Sure,
yeah.
It works for me.
Yeah.
That's literally
those
just
are good names too.
That's just an alternate like take on Archer Vice.
Yeah, you can just go further with that exactly.
And the reason why you think that's a cool name is because that's Muhammad Ali.
Well, Cassius, yeah, exactly. Cassius Clay.
Oh, his name is so awesome. Both of them are
both
awesome.
Of them are, both
yep.
of them are cool.
But I like the alliteration a little bit more. Alliteration's strong.
It's
like
got
if you were Wooly Wonina.
Yeah.
Or something.
It's got what's her name from Always Sunny? As one of the characters as
D?
Well.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
D?
I believe D's one of the characters in it.
It's
and
a good voice.
You know, just I'm like these guys. So they've
D's guys.
Archer's been around long enough and has been funny enough that it's like, yeah, you can do another
Plus,
show now.
On FX loves those guys, so they'll just probably
what happens
whatever.
If this has the quality jump of Archer to this that Frisky Dingo had to Archer?
Then they lead back to Frisky Dingo 2.
That's
it. All builds up to the movie.
Kill Face the sequel. Couldn't deal with it.
Couldn't, I couldn't. I could. I tried.
I tried.
I tried
so hard.
So hard.
I don't think you tried very hard.
I really did. I gave it more than a few episodes.
Oh
man.
I love how we both had the identical like attempt at that separately.
Susan Sarandon's in it as well.
Wow,
cool. She's cool.
Yeah,
I liked her in Stepmom.
She's the person that basically owns the town's, like, bar/whorehouse/everything.
Isn't there
that whatever,
new show yeah. that's going to come out about, like, robots in a future Western theme park?
Westworld?
Yeah, that's it. That's what
yeah,
it's called.
Westworld.
That sounds fucking
It's about
cool.
a bunch of fucking, like, cowboy robots that all look sinister and Bioshock as shit.
I have not.
Is this
a cartoon?
No.
No,
it's
live
action.
What?
It looks like the poster is
it's animatronics.
Wild Guns the show.
The poster
okay.
is the back of a sinister
okay.
looking cowboy on a mesa, and it's chromatic aberrationed out to shit.
Okay,
it's really it's
and it's about the robots.
It's about a theme park.
About a theme park with robots
called Westworld.
They go
okay.
crazy. All
right,
I didn't hear that part of it. I assumed
I
that
assume
was part of it.
That's part of it.
And then lastly, we got, Fox handing out, papers outside of the Fantastic Four movie asking the audience where they want this franchise to go, because they don't know what to do at this point.
How about away?
How about in a garbage bin, yeah.
No, because if they don't make it, then they lose the rights to making any more.
I know.
Wait, we lose the rights on this thing that we lost money on?
We can never give it back.
Shut up.
We can never give it.
We swindled
Marvel out of their characters, and God forbid we let them get them back.
You know, they have to take Fantastic Four and go somewhere like Juno, because I don't know. Nobody seems to know how to do this. Here's back down to that kind of movie.
Here's what you do. You make the same deal that Sony did with Marvel for Spider-Man. Is way less valuable because they're not holding on to fucking Spider-Man.
Nope.
And then Marvel just snatches Doom out.
So they go, look, we'll do some.
And
we'll take these characters.
Doom as a new Avengers.
We'll make them
movie.
Not embarrassing, and you'll get some of the profits.
You'll get a 20%.
So throwing some metrics on there. Fantastic Four has had the lowest opening of any major superhero movie since Ghost Rider.
What about Ant-Man?
Well below Ant-Man.
I heard there was a Rotten Tomatoes.
Ant-Man's not popular, but it's a good movie.
There was a Rotten Tomatoes race to the bottom with Paul Blart.
No, there is a Rotten Tomatoes race to 4% for Fantastic Four.
So where's
Four.
It? Okay. Because
right
it was
now,
at
it's
9.
At 8 or 9.
It was at 9 when I heard
that. But everyone's like, come on, let's get it to 4 because irony.
And then hold it there.
Hold it there.
I don't like.
Hold it. Hold
I don't like
it,
naked
hold
thing.
It,
hold it.
He needs his weird little briefs.
I still think fantastic is a strong word.
It's, yeah.
No one ever... You brought that up in a way that was like there was a conversation
No, there's
that
no,
happened.
There's no contest. Just like seeing these movies come out, it's like, why do you keep using that word?
Liam,
you can't just call it the all right four.
Adequate four.
The adequate four.
Well, that's the one thing about comic reboot movies is that they always have the ability to tag on the extra comic book line from
the
comic
amazing
book reboots,
movie, yeah.
Uncanny, Ultimates, etc., so on.
Like
so forth.
The Sony and Marvel are going to be doing something really smart with Spidey, where because everyone knows Spidey's deal now, so he's just going to fucking show up.
Yeah, no, they confirmed that the Spider-Man movie will not be an origin movie.
Which is the best.
Yeah,
because you know, you don't, you need one.
Well, it's not the best, it's that if it was an origin movie, it would be the worst.
Yes.
I mean, it's the best that they're not doing
it. It has to not be an origin movie.
At this point, you can do that with Fantastic Four, too. Just jam them in somewhere.
I don't
Fantastic
know.
42.
I don't know, I don't think people... I think
have
people
Wolverine
still...
kill Reed Richards. For some reason.
Well, no. When he goes evil, he's pretty bad.
Yeah, sure.
No.
Anyway.
Have Sue Storm become a stripper.
I guess with that, we...
That makes sense, right?
Awkwardly roll...
Into... Because we did letters.
We roll into the watch.
What's on the watch?
Okay, we didn't have time for it. Go watch the new Jimquisition. Konami is double evil.
Oh, I forgot to bring it up. Go ahead.
They're fucking... Mm. So, basically... Okay, well, I'll give you one bit of it. And it's basically Jim spoke to people that he knew worked in Konami. And they came away with that. And that goes with a similar game industry article that... Those things we talked about last week, not as bad as they sound. Because Japan's work industry for game development is hideous. That's right. More common than you think.
It's not that it's not as bad as they sound, it's that it is the standard.
Yeah, it's much more common than you
and
would
that's
expect.
The problem.
I thought the highlight was the fact that people that were not on former Koji Pro were not treated this way.
Oh, I don't know. I didn't watch the video.
I don't know about that.
I didn't watch the video, I can't speak on that, but on the, like, wow, this is offensive, it's like, well, unfortunately,
the Japanese
that's the
work
standard
environment
there.
Is fucked up.
Not that we advocate that,
so,
but that's
so the new
like,
fun shit is that Jim brought up new nuggets of horrible management, which include you being hired, and because of a 2-week approval process for any expense whatsoever, you do not get a computer.
Yeah.
Nice.
And then you are told to hit your... And by the way, because you don't have a computer, and it'll take you 2 weeks to get that computer, the authorization process is computerized. Therefore, it will be 1 month before you can start doing your job, which is usually after you have to hit your first deadline.
Wow.
And everyone there is like, no, fuck it, do your job,
you
stop
walk
complaining.
In. You walk in and you just hear a voice go, good luck.
Like that?
Yeah!
Yeah, like the door locks behind
there's
you.
There's a
where
loop
am I going?
And the other
in
major
life.
Complaint is everyone who works there is like, why doesn't this fucking company have any history at all? No one is valued and nothing matters. So
the anti-Valve,
yeah,
Dark Valve, or it's has
like
appeared.
like mid-90s Sega or something like that.
Fuck, man, wow.
Like one of those companies that gets caught just throwing like master discs in
the
trash.
You're right; they are the anti-Valve. They put out video games.
Oh, all right. What's the watch?
Valve are so good. I wish they'd put out more video games.
Your arrays means that you get an extension on your chain.
I'm gonna be able to get a shiny new helmet in FF14 today. Tomorrow.
On Tuesday, I'm keen to play Everybody's Gone to the Rapture, which is
that's out tomorrow!
In. Yes.
Shit!
So the reviews are coming in, and it's green on Metacritic.
Nice!
It's supposed to be good. It's got some tens.
I'm weirdly hyped for that game.
Yeah, that's out tomorrow.
I think it's purely because of the title.
And another game I'm really looking forward to is a Japanese indie game called Torquil. And you play as a little man in a top hat who's in a square, and it's a 2D platformer. And the deal is the square's sides are labeled triangle, square, circle, X. And by pressing and holding a button, you extend a rectangle from that side of the square that you can keep out for about 4 squares worth of distance.
Mm-hmm.
And so, basically, to get through a level, you roll your cube. But say you need to get up somewhere high or across a gap, you'll extend one of the sides and then roll that over. You know what I mean?
Okay.
And
yeah,
so it's all about,
yeah,
like, rolling around a square, that can extend its sides wherever it needs to go.
Interesting. That sounds like some of the puzzles that Tetropolis was going for in some ways.
It seems,
the reshaping. But
it seems a bit more like, you remember Box Boy on the 3DS?
No.
Okay, well, it looks like a more complex version of that. But anyway, yeah, you puzzle platformer. 2D puzzle platformer where the gimmick is you get to stretch your cube and stuff. Looks really fun, so I'm keen on those two games.
What about you, Matt? What about you, Matthew?
I recently got someone recommended me, since I finished the Marvel Now run of She-Hulk, to get just the She-Hulk collection by Dan Slott, which I honestly forget what he wrote before, but he wrote something that I really, really enjoyed. Dan Slott, a good writer. So I'm going to be reading that. I also picked up all the copies of Gem and the Holograms that I was missing that I forgot that came out.
Nice.
And it was really funny because I went down to Million Comics and the guy was just sitting there. You know the one guy? The guy's kind of young.
Yeah, I know the guy.
He's kind of like, you know, he's in his...
The Million Comics guy, yeah.
But there's two guys. There's an older guy and there's that guy. And he's just kind of there. He's just looking at nothing. And I just go like, hey, do you have the new Gem and the Holograms? He's like, issue 3 or issue 4? I'm like, issue 3? He's like, oh, that's the one with the really hype cover. And goes over and gets it, and there's this horribly, like, JoJo style, the cover, it's just all wacky, and he's like, it's really good. And just passed it to me, and so I have all that I want to read, and I want to continue playing Rare Replay.
Just
to at least unlock some of those making of videos. There's the making of, like, Killer Instinct, like we said, but Jet Force Gemini, Banjo-Kazooie.
Hey, I'm curious, are you going to go back to Grab by the Ghoulies?
Grab by the Ghoulies was also really weird. We'll talk about that.
I found out that's a sex joke.
Yeah, Ghoulies means testicles.
Yeah, I got that.
I had no idea.
Yeah.
I had no idea.
Well, like, I always...
Grab by the Ghoulies.
Wow. I always knew that word, but I never put one and two together and got 4.
What a fucking beautiful joke for us.
I know.
Jesus.
That game was really interesting.
It was interesting, but I can see why...
Not their strongest game,
not
really
their strongest
interesting
game. Yeah, so I'm going to be playing that a bunch.
What about you, Wolves?
I'm looking forward to feeling on fire when my passion glows at the boxing gym. And
now, you're going in with realistic expectations, right? You're not going to be Dempsey rolling tomorrow.
Okay.
He'd only do it twice.
Dude,
your legs will
explode. As somebody who has firsthand experience...
Oh, yeah! I forgot!
Most embarrassing moments of people thinking that anime is real life.
I forgot!
And taking
and
it
video
into,
games too.
Into like a training fucking session. No. I will simply sit there and just try to lose some weight.
Just jab all day.
And jab and do what the guy says. I'm gonna keep, but I'm not even gonna wear my, like,
now
my,
let,
my fucking
now,
people shirts if I can.
Here's
down.
The real question. You know that, but when you're doing it, are you still going to be listening to the Epo soundtrack? That's the one that he listens to on the way to the gym.
Yeah, yeah.
You're going to find yourself mouthing moves out and like...
It's getting... Dude,
you're going to have to fight it
I
down.
I told you, it's the combo theme.
Back to Rise with Omega Sparks is like, just you're gonna long be enough that you could do almost any exercise.
You're going
to
be...
You're going to spar and you're going to do the Steve Fox thing. Punch his arm and the guy's going to be like, what?
I'm going to start doing the fucking little Yamazaki, like fucking
the loose arm flipper stand. You're going to be sparring and you're going to go for a hook and he's going to lay your shit out and on the way to the floor you're going to go, shadow counter!
Oh god, it's going to be bad, but no, I like... No headphones in while
and they're all going to be there. Like, we got to get rid of this weeaboo.
It's another one.
It's the fourth one this month.
God damn that fucking boxing show.
Yeah. All right, coach, let me go do my road walk.
They're all going to come in and they're going to tell you you have shit taste for watching Epo.
Get out of here with your Chinese cartoons.
As they all pull up.
Why didn't you watch King Kong the Animation, fucker? It's a better show.
Yeah, exactly right. You're like, oh, I better try Baki the Grappler, and you go into like a wrestling ring instead. No,
dude, you don't even know how hard I'm going to suppress my power levels.
Yeah, you have no idea.
Like, you really suck, and then they're like, Willie, you suck, and then you drop, like, your shirt, and it, like, thuds onto the ground super hard. It makes a little indentation. They're like, weighted clothing!
Yeah. I'll be in the owl corner.
Owl corner!
That's good shit, man.
If you need me.
The grind in FF14 never stops.
How many weeks does it take to get one of the magic weapons again?
The weapon, two.
Okay. Only 2 weeks, okay.
The whole set, 15.
Only 15 weeks
ago. It's like Witcher 3, I'm making the slowest progress in the world, and it's the best. I absolutely love that game. And now there's everybody's on the Rapture that I have to look forward to as well.
I hope I enjoy it.
And Rising Thunder is the best. Well, I don't really have something to do right now. Yeah. Fuck it.
Let's do some matches.
It's so fucking fast. It's instant. Like, I just, like, because the PC thing, like, the launcher... The hit match button, it's within 30 seconds you're in a match. It's amazing.
They're going to slow that shit down when you get the logo crawl at the beginning.
That would be crazy to do
that's
do the logo crawl on the launcher.
Yeah, like getting back into KI, it takes about 6 minutes to get to a match.
Your first match, right?
Six sounds extreme, don't you think?
I was playing it just this weekend. Because the boot up screen... Where it checks for your DLC.
The DLC check
is already about 40 seconds.
So for some reason, the DLC check is brutal.
It's like
in KI.
40 seconds. It's really bad. And then
it checks for
takes
everything.
A while.
It checks for accessories. Yeah. It checks for.
It shouldn't take as long as it does. It's really brutal.
Since I upgraded two packs, I had Combo Breaker and then Ultra. So it would always say, you have a Combo Breaker pack. Do you want to install it? And I say no.
Yeah.
And then it continues checking because that part.
No,
that triggers.
Why would you say no?
We had a moment where you were like, oh, when did you get an Xbox? I had an Xbox before Season 2 came out. It used to be so much quicker, the KI check.
I honestly feel like nearly every DLC check ever takes way too long.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's one of those things, like...
It's gotta be checked somewhere.
Witcher 3 has a bunch of DLC, but it's all free, and it's DRM-free regardless. So there isn't a DLC check.
Mm-hmm.
And it just installs on top of the game.
And if you're going to the Shadow Labs, that's another fucking startup time you got to wait for. The syncing with UltraTech servers message is also that slow.
Yeah. So. But you mean getting to that first match.
That first match.
Yeah.
Takes a while.
I remember when World of Warcraft had just come out, that was one of the things people said. That was a huge plus for that game, because from double-clicking the icon to logging in, compared to the former MMOs that had come out, it was... lightning fast. It was weird that you could get into WoW so quickly.
Yeah.
Within 2-3 minutes.
No, that's one.
It's almost like it's not even fun. Not having to wait.
Logo crawl has to go away, I don't care.
Yeah, I agree.
I manually delete all the video files that have the logos in them on all my PC games because I fucking hate it so much.
The insta playability of Rising Thunders is it's something I like because like Steven Universe episode's 10 minutes long.
Yep.
Click
that you were just
done.
Me and you had the identical experience is like playing watching Steven Universe and playing two matches
that's it, and you're out
and it's great because in Rising Thunder you go in you get fucking wrecked and you're like okay that's enough for now. that series of losses degraded my ranking. Awesome. Fuck.
Gotta get Vandalhook going, man.
Okay, well, you...
It's the only...
What do I follow it up from?
You do throws, cancel into a jab, Vandalhook reset, and it's a 50-50.
And you do Vandalhook or non-Vandal Vandalhook. Okay, yeah. So it's throw, dash, jab?
No, you do Vandal both times.
But you either hold or not?
No, it depends on how early you jab.
Okay. So it's throw,
jab,
dash,
Vandalhook,
jab,
cancel.
And then wait 1 millisecond or not.
And you 50-50.
Okay, yeah, maybe. Yeah. You can follow it up after cold drill and the bread and butter.
Of course you can.
Yeah, okay, cool. That's a podcast.
Yeah, it is.
Wrap it up.
Pasta podcast.
Throw it out the window. That's where iTunes is at.
Hey.